Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah, yeah, like that. Yeah.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No, you're just smart enough and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The doctor is in. Lie down on my couch and we'll begin the therapy because we got a lot of people.
Don't you need some of your own?
You know what? I've done self-therapy and I'm okay.
Already?
Yep.
Yep. In a day and a half?
I'll tell you why as we get into the show. That's not to say that I wasn't devastated, but I've moved on. I have moved on.
Already.
We're going to help the rest of Patriots Nation move on in the next 2 hours.
I don't know if I've moved on yet, Fred.
Okay. Well, you were never on.
You moved on 8
you were never
ago
on.
When you declared the dynasty dead.
Yeah, no kidding.
You should be gloating. You said this team won't win any Super Bowls when we're here or
not
whatever.
Not gloating. I like it when the team wins. I like covering a team that wins. I was expecting to go to the Super Bowl.
No,
I wanted to win a Super Bowl.
You were looking forward to going to the Super Bowl.
Yes,
they've
very
won
much.
Nothing since you came aboard.
Right.
So anyway.
Coincidence? I think not.
So anyway, we got a lot to talk about here.
The team
may have filled up their garbage bags and vacated the building, but we are here and we ain't going nowhere.
Doesn't seem like anybody else is here today. Really seems empty.
Partly the weather, I think.
Plows Ring Road.
Yeah, the weather snuck up on some people today.
Yeah, Pete's not coming in.
Kind
of
a surprise. Supposed to get a dusting. Snowstorm last night turned into a real snarled commute for most. Paul just got here, and so he should be here any moment. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. And, well, guys, where do we begin? We got a lot of emails. People need to vent, and we're going to try to get to as many as we can. But was it just an amazing defensive game plan by the Jets?
Well, I think overall it was a good game plan. But they executed it. I mean, we knew exactly what they were going to do. We talked about a lot of the things they were going to do. We just didn't think they'd be able to do them enough to have the ultimate success and win the game.
Right.
I didn't think Sanchez would make the key throws he needed to make. I didn't think they'd run the ball enough like they did. I didn't think defensively they'd be able to shut down the extra guys. I assumed, okay, you might take out Welker and Branch. I didn't know you'd... Woodhead, to me, the Jets defended Woodhead as well as anybody we saw all year. They took him down for 2 and 3 yard gains. I think he averaged like 3.3 on the ground. They hit him. They didn't allow him to squirt free for those extra yards for the most part. And then, you know, Aaron Hernandez, 1 catch for 4 yards. They took away those options that I thought would be the difference, options 3, 4, and 5.
And Sanchez didn't really make that many key throws. He made a couple.
Right.
He made a great one to Santonio Holmes.
Yeah. Hey, key throws on every drive they scored.
Yeah.
He made the play he needed.
Well, I mean, he found the open man with Cotchery did all the work on that
Well, on the best throw I thought he made was the one to Braylon Edwards on the first scoring drive.
The one where he held it on his shoulder.
Perfect.
The
throw.
Tyree Light catch
was a legit throw.
Oh yeah, that was a great throw.
Those were the two best throws I think he had all night.
He made the ones he needed to.
I can't blame this on the defense.
No.
What I thought was interesting.
It's like the Super Bowl. The offense is the one that played well below its expected level.
And what I thought was interesting was Wes Welker's comment after the game about, we practiced for one thing all week, and then we saw something else. And we tried to adjust, but.
Yeah. I wonder what they practiced.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
A lot of them said the zone.
They saw more zone than expected.
I know, again, I've been saying this in my sleep and all day today, and I know you guys laugh, but I made this prediction that Brady would run for 14 yards. The reason I did that is I really did believe that the Jets would cover well. I really did believe that Brady would have to pull the ball down because of great coverage at times.
And he could have had 30 yards.
And you think all those two-yard runs would have mattered. I think, you know, what would have happened? The Jets go, thank you, we win.
Yeah, and I think that's what they, you know, with all the defensive backs they had on the field, the eight defensive backs, mm-hmm. they were daring the Patriots to run the football. But if it's Brady running even more, I win. Yeah, I mean,
at least Woodhead can break a tackle
or something. You know, for Eric's thing, if he could have run for 30 yards, it would have taken him 15 scrambles to do that because he just can't move anymore.
And the Jets will say, thank you very much. We'll play the Steelers next week.
Yeah, and I think that's what they were saying on that last drive, you know, the one that got all the criticism, the 7-minute, 45-second drive that resulted in no points, that had all those runs. To me, it wasn't so much that they ran the football as much as it was how long it took them to get the plays off. And I heard someone this morning talk about, out of the 14 plays on that drive, 11 of them were snapped with less than 10 seconds on the play clock. You're down two scores in the fourth quarter. You can't do that.
No, I was blogging. I said, shouldn't they be picking up the tempo here?
Yeah.
And like you said, Paul, not necessarily throwing the ball, just getting to the line
They were
quicker.
Giving you three-man fronts with eight men back. So there were certainly times in that drive that the right thing to do was run the football. Now, Andy has it exactly right. The thing the Jets did is they didn't allow those runs to be overly effective.
No.
They gave up, you know, some yards here and there. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis had a good average, but he didn't hurt them because he's not a big play runner. And they knew that.
And he only had nine carries.
He couldn't get hurt with that. They knew that they can pound Ben Jarvis Green Ellis between the tackles all day if they want. They're not beating us that way, and they did a great job on Woodhead, as Andy said.
And Woodhead was a big part of that. I mean,
14
he had like
carries, 3 points.
And another nine carries. Catches or six catches.
14
or,
carries.
You're talking about 20
nine,
touches?
Excuse me, six catches, nine targets.
Yeah, so 20 touches? You're talking about more than a quarter of the offense is Danny Woodhead?
And he did nothing.
That's not really his role.
You know, and
unlike the last game when he was huge in the passing.
You begin the game.
Instead of changing the pace, he was kind of the pace.
The first two drives by the Patriots, one ended in an interception, the other in 3 points. But they seemed to have the Jets on their heels. They were moving the ball. Jets seemed to kind of, you know, they were running the ball well.
There's also a huge thing, and I've heard that a lot the last 2 days, and it's true. They got worse as the game went on. Offensively, they started off okay and seemed to get progressively worse.
Either that or the Jets got better.
Well, whichever way you want to look at it. I look at it from far be it for me to look at it from the Patriots' perspective, Fred. But I thought we got worse as the game got off.
Well,
more on.
I give the other team credit sometimes.
Okay. I will give the other team credit on this then, too. On the first drive, they moved the ball. Had a couple of trick plays in there, the double reverse. Yep. One of the reverses to start, I think, to Tate, end around, and then a reverse somewhere in there. And then he threw a pick, which, I mean, these things happen. He went 340 passes without one. The second drive probably was going to be a three and out. They sacked him on the first play, stopped Ben Jarvis Green Ellis for like a 5-yard run in the second play. It was going to be third and like 12,
and they had a face mask
penalty that kickstarted the whole drive. So even on that drive, there were signs that the Jets were doing something that was getting the Patriots out of their rhythm.
But you nodded.
I thought the Jets didn't take advantage of the early opportunities, that was game.
Right.
This is another reason why you should, as Andy says, disregard
the nod. It was only the third time in your history that you've been wrong. So that's not bad.
Much like the Patriots, the nod was more relevant in 03-04 when they just went 14-2 and they ended games.
Good point.
But, I don't know. I just don't
know.
It
was an ah with a so in between
with another ah.
You know,
you've really moved on. I see what you did over the last 2 days, Brett.
No,
what did you do?
I have what
for the last?
I don't know,
you said you've moved on, just odd twice.
Yeah.
No, I've moved on.
That's a tough one to take.
But
he claims he's moved on. That it's behind him.
I want to know how
it is behind me.
He took care of himself on his couch.
I'm looking ahead. We started the season by saying.
I always thought that was Googling yourself.
You know, we started the season by saying, "Look, there's going to be a lot of young guys. We hope that the defense catches up." I think it did, but they were what they were, and.
We also started the season saying the Jets may be or were the more talented team.
Right.
And it looked that way Sunday night. You know, they had more guys able to make
now,
plays.
If they were to play the game again today, I would still pick the Patriots. I still think they were
I would
the better
too, but and, a lot and, more cautiously.
There would be nothing wrong with doing that
if
you did. But that's exactly what the Jets did after the Monday night game.
No, I know.
And we killed them for it.
No, I know. Mm. But I would still pick the Patriots if they played
right
now. I
don't think they're a better team. I didn't think they were a better team going into the game.
You know,
I argued with you about that last week.
So, but you have to look at it. Look, they were in a big transition year. Both on both sides of the ball. I mean, you can't underestimate the move of getting rid of Randy Moss. That was a disruptive move that took a lot of guts to do. And
disruptive for the better.
Well, whatever it was, it was a
turned out for Sunday.
Usually, don't see those types of moves.
Looked awfully familiar to me.
Usually, don't see those types of moves in the middle of a season. You know, for any team, you know, a lot of transition on both sides of the ball. But as we look towards 2011, with the draft picks, with the young guys on the team right now, with the guys coming back, I think you have to be, you know, optimistic about.
You can't be anything but.
You
can't be anything but. This team is. And Andy wrote a commentary, I think, 2 weeks ago. That's the scariest part for the rest of the league is they're ahead of schedule.
Because remember, we were talking.
Way ahead.
You know, Eric looked at this a year ago and said, look, the window's closing. But I think the window's
closing or closed?
Or whatever. But I think whichever it is, it's on the way down.
What was it?
It was an ED.
Which was it, Eric?
I think I said it closed.
But I think now you have to look at
slammed,
this team.
Slammed, actually.
You have to look at this team and say the window is now opening again. You have to.
Assuming that Brady can continue at the level that he played this year for
the next
few years.
That's the key question. We want to get into that because we talked about on the show, they have to get away, even though he's the highest paid quarterback in the game, and he should earn that money, we have to get away from being dependent on Brady too much. Getting back to 03 and 04, building up that defense, which I think they're on the track to do, and building up his weapons on offense. And I think Brady will go back to being 0-3-0-4 Brady, which is good enough.
I think on defense, Fred, they've done a little bit to build a foundation with the defensive line. I think they've got some new players in there who've proven that they can step in and do some things, be versatile. They still need a lot of help at linebacker, and they still might need one or two players in the second.
And I think they would agree with that. I don't think that they're blind to that, and I think they will work on that. I think... You know, we went into 2010, said, wow, look at all the holes on this team. The holes are starting to fill now, and they've been filled positively. And I think they're going to continue to – I can't be anything but optimistic about this team going forward. That's what I'm focused on.
I know.
The key to me for your thing to come true is the pieces that they've gotten – on defense need to hit.
They need to continue to hit.
No, they need to hit. We don't know yet.
Well, McCourty needs to continue
McCourty,
to develop.
McCourty, we know, I
Spikes
think.
Spikes needs to continue
you know,
to develop. You know, Chung needs to continue to develop.
I think you need to make sure that those players can play.
Sure.
Because that's the foundation of your defense.
Sure.
Mayo, Spikes, McCourty, Arrington, Butler, Chung, Cunningham.
Bodden's coming back.
But we're talking about long term.
Yeah,
those guys are next
those guys
year.
Are next
the young
year
core.
Guys.
Yeah,
the young core is your defense years from now. If you better, you know.
Yeah.
You need playmakers.
You need players.
Sure, sure.
And here's
Jermaine
the thing.
Cunningham can't just be a guy for the next 5 years.
But, do we doubt Jerod Mayo's future in the NFL?
As an NFL inside linebacker? Absolutely not.
No.
Do we doubt
but as a playmaker?
Do we think McCourty can do it?
Yeah, sure we do.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's positive
signs. That one
ain't
back to the Mayo. I didn't answer that one yet.
As
a game-changing playmaker, I still doubt.
I
thought it was symbolic that Sean Green just ran how he wanted for that touchdown run.
Well, I wanted to
right
talk
past
about
Jerod
the
Mayo
right
into the end zone to put the final nail in and say this game is over. I thought that was kind of symbolic for both the team in the game, but also for one of your star defensive players. Well, you know, he got another one yesterday. I believe he was the Pro Football Writers Association All-Pro or whatever team of the year middle linebacker. I mean, this is a guy that's supposed to be elite. To me, elite guys step up, and you'll make fun of me because it's a ridiculous comment I'm about to make, but in the press box, Julian Edelman, I said, this guy's got a little special in him.
Did.
In these games, sometimes he steps up and gets a punt return. I
and
need Mayo to become like that.
Andy had two, by the way.
I need Mayo to step up and make a play.
Right? That was one.
That
to
was
me,
one,
special
and
guys,
the other. Andy called special,
yes,
shot before it
special guys make special plays, and I'm not saying Edelman is a better overall player, but he seems to have a knack. When it's needed, he gets it, whereas Mayo, I'm not sure I can still count on that.
Yeah, I'm not. Mayo's not the problem. I'm not here.
But he's not the playmaker either.
But my point, my
they're not done with
the point that I'm trying to make is right now I don't think they're good enough on defense, and they have all of these young guys. This is, for better or worse, this is your personnel. And
that said, they didn't lose Sunday because of the defense.
Exactly right.
They didn't win because of the defense.
I maintained all year long, this team cannot win a game if it has to rely on getting a stop in a key spot.
Right.
You can't win 17-13.
The funny thing,
that's
though,
what I felt. This team can't win 13-10.
The funny thing,
they can't
though,
win playoff
Paul, was that
they
were
up
making
14. And
right,
they,
but they
weren't
making plays down the stretch.
It's not
on defense.
Their fault that they lost. Just like it wasn't their fault that they lost the Super Bowl. But when they needed the defense to go on the field and stop the other team, they couldn't.
Right.
I'm not blaming them.
But
the
always get back to who played closer to their expectations.
I understand the whole thing, but that doesn't mean the defense played well.
Look,
it didn't.
That's not their
fault,
though.
That's
twice
they allowed
a
bad quarterback to hang 28
on. That gets
on.
Back to Fred's thing. Your team wasn't built to win in the postseason.
Exactly.
That's the architect who screwed up, and not James Sanders and Devin McCourty and those guys.
That's how this whole thing came up.
Other than the Baltimore game, the defense won no games this year, basically. This team was built to get a lead with Tom Brady and play out front.
Get some picks because
right.
the other
I'm still not
to come
sure
back.
That they're good enough to not win that way. The 2003-2004 Patriots could win any way you wanted them to win.
And
you
that,
fall
yeah.
behind, doesn't matter. You right. get a lead, it didn't matter.
But that's
now,
why they were great.
They played with a lead more often than not. But they were 14-2, the number one seed.
They were a well-rounded
but they were
team.
A great
they were supposed
team,
to be great.
And we knew this team at 14-2 was a very good team among bad teams.
We talked about it, Andy, on this show, and even Fred was with us. But if you listen to the talk, this was a foregone conclusion.
Right.
There were shows on local TV sports shows, Destination Dallas. There was no doubt in anyone's mind that this team was the head and shoulders best team in football. We doubted that because we saw with our eyes that there was so little margin between the 14-2 and the 10-6s.
No, but what I'm saying is I think they were the best team in football. But
they played
that didn't
best,
mean
no
as
question.
Much as being the best team in football in 04 when I think that was a much better team.
And they
team
had the better talent.
And there was better competition. I think this AFC title game could suck. I think if both teams play their bad games instead of their good games, and the Jets are getting pressure because the O-line sucks for
absolutely.
Pittsburgh, and
could,
Sanchez is throwing three picks,
this could be
7-3, and you could turn it off and say, that's one of the worst football games I've ever watched.
This could be the 13-10 game that Pittsburgh played.
You could certainly argue both AFC playoff games over the weekend sucked.
No, I think this one could be horrendous. I mean,
no,
literally
I
an embarrassment to the league
I'm
where
totally
people are writing columns and saying this is the
that's
NFL
the best
this year.
The AFC had to offer. But
and,
I think the two semifinals
and I think it could go the other
sucked.
Way the same way in the other league.
Yeah.
Cuz I think
Chicago
is prone
could
to
be
suck
terrible.
At any point.
Right.
And if Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay are on, you could end up with a blowout and you go, "Wow, those are the four best teams in football and it was terrible football."
Yeah. Look, the Patriots need to get to the point where Brady can have an okay day and they still win. They're not there right now.
Like
but I thought we got away from – I thought getting rid of Moss was getting back to the days where we'll rely on our strength, which is Brady reading the field and having a lot of decent weapons
right.
but no playmakers.
Right, and I still think that those weapons can be upgraded. I think Deion Branch was nice. He was great to have. I think he had that spark, but he can be taken out of a game. There's no
they
doubt
all
about
can.
It.
Everyone.
You know, they just showed you they all could get taken
except
out.
Except for G-Force.
Yeah.
Because Welker
so,
got
but
did Welker even
stick
play?
My boys.
Yeah. I think they still don't have a true number one receiver, and I think that should be an off-season
but
goal.
I thought that's what we wanted.
Yeah, but I thought, exactly. I thought when they got rid of Moss, they decided
we're going to go
back to...
Here's the thing about Moss. Let's be honest about Randy Moss.
It was an attitude thing.
It was an attitude
right.
thing.
I'm with you, Fred.
And if he played 100% all the time, I'd take him back in a heartbeat, but you couldn't count on him doing that.
But beyond the attitude, I thought I heard all last week the Patriots are better suited to take on the Jets because they're built to stop a team with a number one and a number two.
You did
and this
hear
team
that.
Doesn't have that.
But
you
Randy,
did hear that, much like you heard the people saying
we
the
wouldn't
Patriots
want Larry Fitzgerald because Larry Fitzgerald would be a waste because he would just
that?
Get taken away. Everybody last week said
no
this team
said
is
a
better
lot of people
suited
were talking
because there's
those
no
terms.
Number one receiver.
People think the 2010.
That's ridiculous.
It may be ridiculous, but it was the prevailing thought last week.
People think the 2010 offense was better than 2007.
I would. That's ridiculous too.
Well, I've heard that.
Look,
though. People have made that argument.
I would say that in Randy Moss in his state now, in his current state when he left the Patriots, yes, they were better off with Deion Branch, but not with a true number one receiver like Larry Fitzgerald.
No.
Oh my God!
I mean, Fred,
goodbye, Deion Branch. No. I'll take Larry Fitzgerald in a
Hey,
in a
Fred,
second.
How about a week earlier? People were saying that's why the Colts lost because they have a true number one receiver, and all you do is match up Revis, and you lose. Your offense goes away. People thought you were better suited to have Branch, Welker, Woodhead, and these guys. That
again,
are just guys.
I'll take Reggie Wayne
right
over Deion Branch any day. Because with the other guys, with Welker,
yeah, the problem
and with,
isn't,
with the tight
isn't,
ends.
Isn't Welker, the tight ends, and Woodhead. The problem is the number one guy.
No, good. I know, but everybody said they didn't want a number one guy because number one guys can be taken
said
away.
That?
Why
who
all
said
of a sudden
a lot of people?
A lot of people
are
saying that.
But why are you all of a sudden adhering?
Right? Do you believe that?
Right? You don't believe
well,
it.
No.
So why
but
are you?
I think
you well,
what
now
are you
adhering
about?
To it?
What do you mean I'm adhering to
it? You're sort of lending credence to that theory.
No, but that's what people said. Now we want the number one again.
One
loss later, we want the number one again.
But we thought they were wrong.
Do you want a bunch of number twos? Which is better?
They don't want Randy Moss.
No, I'm not talking about Randy Moss. People were saying part of the problem the Colts had is they're built. They have a number one receiver that can be taken away.
Because that's all they had.
But people, see, you weren't clearly weren't listening.
I guess
to the,
not.
The,
I never hear
people that. Were saying
I heard everything
that the
that
Patriot
saying,
way
but I don't
was
think,
better.
But I don't think you thought
no,
that.
No. I think
so,
you need
so
playmakers to win football games.
Well,
because Fred is now saying we need the number one again.
Well, first of all, Fred, this is what Fred does.
You're
he's
out,
in
you're
mourning.
Out of your mind.
He's in mourning. Can't
I'm
you
out of my
alone?
Mind?
Yes.
Did you told me you'd moved on and then went,
have you given out the Good Samaritan hotline yet today?
When wouldn't anybody want the best receivers you
yeah,
can take?
508-543-7482.
Last week,
thanks.
There were plenty
thanks.
Of Patriots fans that didn't believe
they
you wanted a number one
no,
receiver.
No, they were comparing the offense with Randy Moss this year
no,
to after.
No, that you weren't. You definitely didn't hear
I
the
I didn't
comments,
hear that. I
definitely.
Maybe I didn't.
The groundswell was it was better. Everybody. Fans, borderline analysts. Plenty of
they're
people.
Saying they would rather have Deion Branch in the offensive
yes.
status than Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes, because
yes.
it's making Brady a better quarterback because
right.
he's not relying on trying
right.
to feed the beast and get
well,
it downfield.
Well, my point is,
and
with
quote
a,
unquote, they've lost their soul.
My point yeah. is, with a Larry Fitzgerald, you wouldn't have to rely on Larry Fitzgerald. You still have the supporting cast.
I would always take talent. I think talent wins
yeah,
a lot.
I'll take the
which
guy.
Is why SPFW is getting flooded with. Do we want Ocho Cinco?
Yes. Yeah. Can we change? Can we pull out the Debate Fridays where it says T.O. and just put in
Ocho Cinco?
Because, yes,
see,
I'll take him.
I would take him in a heartbeat.
Fred
I don't care about
you
the off-field
you
stuff.
You cannot have him.
I don't want him.
Okay.
The only thing about him that I don't know is if he's still that
good
caliber of a player.
Right.
Yeah. But, I would love to have a Larry Fitzgerald or
maybe
a Calvin Johnson. Oh, my God.
Hey, Larry
Are
Fitzgerald
you
has to go into another year with Max Hall and John Skelton as his quarterbacks. He may be.
Yeah, he might jump
he
ship.
May force his way out of there.
But, I mean, and anyone that says that they wouldn't want that type of receiver is ludicrous. It's a ludicrous thing to say Brady's better off with lesser talent.
I'm just telling you, that was a prevailing.
It's ludicrous now.
It was a prevailing opinion the last 8 weeks of the season.
Last Wednesday,
it's
it was
made,
the game plan to win a Super Bowl.
It's made Brady better. He's now he's surveying the field. He's spreading
again,
it around.
Whenever
he's not
I heard
forcing
that,
it downfield.
Whenever I heard that discussion, it was comparing to how they were earlier in the season.
It was more comparing their offense to the Jets' defense.
I don't know what you're
thing.
Comparing to earlier in the season. Earlier in the season, they were everybody as dominant as they were the last 12 weeks offensively. Matter of fact, their points per game dropped
but
in the last 12 games.
When you
the
came
first
up
four.
Against a good defensive team, you would have the problem that you had.
And you had it again without Moss. Well, so you had the problem
so
against
a
good defensive team.
Choose what the good defensive teams are?
Yeah, I don't think that they would have been as good down the stretch with Randy Moss.
Well, maybe
in his current
we would
state.
Never know. Just like we'll never
now,
know if
maybe
Patrick
they
Chung...
would have won on Sunday
now,
though.
Now, if you have Larry, of course I'd want Larry Fitzgerald. That,
well,
that's just that
brings up an interesting point. With the if there's a lockout, there's still going to be the draft, as we know.
Yes.
Can there be draft day trades for veteran players?
Yes.
Yes. I'd like to say, I'm not exactly sure though, because what happens, who owns the contract? I guess you can, right?
Yeah, it's a commodity.
Because they're under contract.
They're going to come back. The
it's,
contracts
it's
are
unrestricted
just,
free agents won't be able to move if there's a lockout.
Okay.
Contracts exist. They're just, what do they call it? Told? No. There's a word they use.
Prorated?
In abeyance?
No, it's something like told. It just stops and then it's picked up
picked
whatever
up
it starts up again.
Yeah.
So, and I was just wondering, because if they have all these picks in the first few rounds, if they wanted to make a move for someone like Fitzgerald.
Sure.
Because he's still under contract with
Arizona. I wouldn't do that either. I wouldn't trade away your draft for Larry Fitzgerald. But.
No, but I'm just.
Not your draft, but
just saying, if they wanted to make a trade.
I do think
the 33rd pick in the draft. It's basically a first round pick.
I do think the Patriots should.
A first round pick for him.
Should look at the offseason.
A second round pick.
No, but he seems hesitant to trade anything for him.
I do think the Patriots should, as a priority, look to fill that number one receiver slot, whether it's through the draft or trade or free agency when that happens and whenever that does. I think that should be a priority.
Fitzgerald.
Not the priority, but a priority.
A priority, sure. The one, no.
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 Not
because
the one.
We just said you need to be built
on defense
if you want to win.
No, and I agree
and
with
this
that.
Nowhere near.
I think that outside pass rusher is probably a
Yeah, Andy, Eric, you know? And I are going to go on our crusade again for an edge rusher. Yeah. I know we probably won't find one, but
Bear's going to void that Peppers contract.
What about
Can we go on him again?
What about Quinny?
I don't know. He might have gotten fat and happy taking
a year
off.
Another dumb move by the Bears, huh? I'd hate to be in the NFC Championship game with a $20 million.
We're starting
player.
To get the emails, by the way. Was that the screw-up? You know, would the Patriots have been a much different team
with
Peppers?
I'm not killing them for that.
Well, they would have been a different team, that's for sure.
The difference, I don't kill the Patriots for not dumping $20 million to one guy, but I also don't kill the team that did that. And that's what we do around here is we beat up on the team. Another dumb signing, overpay.
Can you imagine is there because of its defense.
If the Super Bowl quarterbacks wind up being Jay Cutler and Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, I might not watch. I'll turn my back and eat. Can't even eat anymore.
I'm sick to my stomach.
You are?
Just thinking of it.
Good news is, though, Brett Favre filed his retirement papers.
Only for the third time.
Do you know he gets $200,000 cash when he sends those in? They're like an instant payment. It's like $10,000 per year.
Which is why he did it now. Yeah.
It's tremendous.
To get the severance.
You think it's at all ironic that in the year that he finally does retire, Aaron Rodgers wins the Super Bowl?
Oh, just hear what he did, too.
I think that would be poetic.
He was he's saying how the Packers are going to win it. He's saying how great they're playing. That's the best team they're going
to
win.
He's trying to get back in their good graces.
No, he's trying to up the pressure on them.
Make it
look like, how can he? He actually said, he actually took a shot at Rodgers, too, a backhanded shot, saying with the great receivers that they have.
Oh, come on.
Telling you, he's trying to make it look so if they don't win it,
it's a choke.
And if they do win it, it's, I told you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's his attempt to just show people that he has no ill will.
It's like, I remember Bill Walsh
did that.
That's
true. You're not nearly
Bill
as
Walsh
bad a person
won the,
as Brett
won, won the one that he left.
The only person ever seen
and then they asked him
wife.
Which one he thought was the best team.
Well, not the only.
And he said, I actually take the team that's coming back.
Of late.
Now is the best team.
And that
which I thought was a ridiculous.
And all Seaford got all the
pressure. Yeah, and Seaford ended up winning with it. They won it because they ended up repeating.
You should know, I got a little wiener.
That was the one you should have
thought was a classless thing to say.
Okay. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. And on the phone right now is Marcus from Washington, D.C. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, Fred. How's it going?
Oh, we're doing okay. As good as you could expect.
Yeah, I hear you. Basically, I just wanted to call in, and I guess I've kind of heard you guys talk about it but skirt around the real issue. And the real issue is, let's just be honest about it, Brady played like crap. He didn't really scan the field well. He played timid all day, and I think that first interception really took him off his game. And that's really what it boiled down to.
I kind of agree with that last point. I think that first interception was a terrible throw.
No doubt.
And again, he went a long time without a bad throw. But
it was also a bad decision. It was a bad decision and bad throw.
Yeah.
When you see a guy flash, to throw the ball higher and put it in the air for longer, to me,
yeah.
was a bad decision.
It was
decision.
Almost one of those, the minute it left his hand,
he wanted
like,
it back.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You could see it coming the whole time. But from that point on, I think you're right. And then after the crumpler drop, where they had moved the ball and then he dropped that touchdown in the end zone on that second drive, you saw the Super Bowl 42 face come out again.
Yep, exactly.
The hunched shoulders, the head down, the swearing that TV cameras caught when he went to the sideline.
He has two looks of frustration. We see frustration from him on the field all the time. One of them is
passionate frustration.
That damn Chad Jackson is not in the spot he's supposed to be. That was a touchdown if that a-hole was in the right spot.
Angry, fiery frustration.
The other one is, I don't know what the hell's going on out here.
That's
I can't find
this.
I know it's not working, but I don't know what to do to make it work.
I
and that's the one we saw.
I mean, I don't – listen, this wasn't a good game by Brady by any stretch. I can't recall a single open guy he missed.
Well, that's where I would.
There was a couple of open guys. I mean, if you watch the replay of the game there, especially on the last drive, the 7-minute drive, he missed a couple of underneath guys that if he would have just taken the drop down. I mean, Wes Walker was open one time. There wasn't a guy within 5 yards of him. And yes, he might have been only 5 yards down the field, but that's what Wes Walker does.
He
tackles and makes plays.
The one I can think of, Paul, is that 4th and 13 when Branch got open.
Yeah.
And that the throw was just a little out of his reach.
Even then, he wasn't really wide open.
He wasn't really,
but it was a bad throw. I mean, he probably.
But you're not going to be wide open.
He probably could have squirted it in there, but
I'm in the middle somewhere.
He threw the ball 45 times. Yeah. Was every one of them to a guy who was blanketed? No. There was times that you can name one or two individual ones.
But
the Jets completely dominated
everything, every phase of that game from the second possession on.
He was frustrated for most of the game.
But
he was.
But he played timid when he got frustrated.
Yeah,
that,
I don't think he played
that
well.
He looked around. He bought time.
He looked around. He couldn't find anybody. Yeah. But guys weren't getting open.
But guys aren't going to be open.
He didn't play well.
My point is, he's great. You know, guys aren't going to be wide open. He's Tom Brady. He should make a throw and you go, wow, That's why he's great. He just made that throw. That guy wasn't open. He just put the ball where only his guy could catch it. There were. Don't tell me there weren't any of those.
I said he threw the ball 45 times. I'm not going to say every one.
It's a little bit of both.
To a guy who was blanking.
The Jets had a great game plan, and Brady didn't overcome that by being great. He was below his normal play.
Yep. All right. Well, that's all I really wanted to talk about. You know, we're in Patriot morning time, but you're right. We have all, you know, all off season to think about how great we can be next year. But, you know, really, I think it boils down to, like we said, we got to get back to 2004 where it does not always fall on Tom Brady's shoulders because he is human and he's not going to always play a spectacular ball.
All right, Marcus, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Thomas in Nova Scotia writes in, which would you guys prefer? A, the Jets win the first Super Bowl and can never be silenced as Rex remains head coach for the next 7 years, or B, Steelers win their seventh Super Bowl and tie the Patriots for team of the decade while running away with the total record?
Well, we're in a new decade.
Right, we're in
so
a new decade,
count.
So it doesn't count. And also, the Jets have won a Super Bowl back in 60, so it would be their second.
Actually. I do know the point, though, and it's a hard one because...
Steelers.
You have a lot to choose from.
I'm rooting for the Steelers and I'm rooting for the Packers.
How about,
overall.
I was going to say Green Bay. Yeah. That's what I'd be rooting for.
But I think it's going to be Jets Packers in the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
Jets Packers?
Yeah.
I have a feeling the Jets are going to win too.
Yeah.
I think Steelers.
I don't know who I'm rooting for in that game. That's a real tough one.
I'm definitely rooting for the Steelers.
Yeah, I'll have my Mendenhall jersey.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if I can.
I mean, that's a good point for you because you like
the Steelers. I can't root for
Well, you can't because you think that the quarterback
but
is overrated.
But I can't root for the Jets either.
It'd be awfully hard to make that claim when he has three Super Bowl titles.
I guess I'll root for the NFC, whoever comes out of there. Although, God, I don't like Cutler either.
Yeah, that's a lot of Super Bowl rings the Jets are going through, huh, potentially. Going through Brady, Manning, and Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
You think Jets fans are worrying about that right now? Has any team ever beaten that many Super Bowl rings for quarterbacks?
We'll get a question
in
about
the same playoff.
Sure.
Who had the silly stat that no team or has beaten Brady and Manning in consecutive weeks?
I heard that too. It was the dumbest thing I've ever heard
since 2001.
Yeah.
How many teams had the chance?
Right. Completely.
That's one of those
like
four stats.
Did two teams have the chance?
The other part about not that it matters, but the Colts stunk that year. They were 6-10.
Right.
So big whoop. You beat them.
Let's see. Jim writes in from the eastern shore of Lake Depression. I love Brandon Spikes, but I wonder if he wouldn't benefit from some highly specialized off-season training like they do at the place in Arizona, API. He seems to have the making of a great linebacker, but he looks slow and a bit doughy to me. If he could become a bit more lean and muscular, it would improve his speed and he would not be jogging after running backs and receivers like he was on Sunday.
I think he was running.
He didn't play that much either on Sunday.
Didn't play very many plays.
No, I know, but he was chasing. He was chasing on the big one, I believe, the 58-yarder.
Oh, well. But it's tough to fault him on that.
He is slow and doughy.
We had another person who was on the field for the whole time, one of our insider sources, say that the Patriots looked gassed on both sides of the ball toward the end of the game. And you wonder if, you know, almost a three-week layoff did that. What was going on?
I think they were wound too tight.
You think so?
Yeah, I really, you know what, and looking back at it, it's like watching a movie the second time around and you go back and say, oh, I should have seen that. When I went out to practice on Tuesday, I think it was, after the layoff from the bye week, it was just a very serious, somber, just unlike what they had been like in practice for the last couple of months.
Right.
Where they were, like even going into the week of the Monday night game against the Jets, they were loose, they were confident, they were joking around in practice, not like they were taking it lightly, but they weren't stressing about it.
Right.
They looked stressed about it this past week, and I should have known then that it was kind of like Super Bowl week in 07 when they were just, you could tell they were just wound too tight when they went into that game and they let it get to them.
Gets back to my whole theory. I think his style, Bill Belichick's style, may be too businesslike at this point for the postseason with this team. When you have the better team, I don't think it matters if they're tight, whatever. When you have Rodney Harrison and Willie McGinnis doing certain things. But with the team they have now, and I told you in that, I think they lost that Super Bowl in the week leading up to it. Because, as I said, it should have been a coronation. They should have been,
right. You
know, they should have been thinking about
celebrating
50
the fact,
points
right.
and becoming
Let's
a
do
team
what we've
that
done
would
all
be
year.
Talked about for 100
exactly.
years.
Exactly. Let's do what we've done
and
all
I
year.
And I think they were just playing game number 19.
Right.
That was game number 19. It was, you know, not
were,
a lot
no
different
fun.
Than 18.
No fun at all.
Whereas I think sometimes the Jets get hurt, and teams like that are too emotional. They lose in the regular season because of it, highs and lows. You benefit in the postseason because you are frothing at the mouth. You are you know, up
and
for
that big
game.
And you figure, hey, no, we have nothing to lose. Everyone
so I think Belichick's
gonna, you know,
style's great for the regular season. You know, one week at a time, you know, just a marching through the order. But football, to me, is an emotional game. It's so
physical. Does he recognize that, though?
I think as his guys get more – I don't think you – you know, you've had success doing it. I don't think you just change it once you get your style, once you get in the playoffs. I think as these guys get more experience, that style will work again.
But I mean,
maybe.
But the style in practice that we saw was when big games would come up, they were confident. They were loose. They were,
I don't know.
They weren't like that this past week. That was different.
Well, that's interesting. Tracy in Vegas says, Sunday I received calls from the Rams, Bengals, Raiders, and even Colts fans commiserating with me over the loss. The Pats didn't just let their fans down. They let most of the NFL's fans down. They should have won.
A lot of people had money on the game, I'm sure.
They just didn't. Even though I know I have no right to feel this way, I'm pissed. So that's Tracy.
You have a right. Don't you worry. You have a right.
You know. Let's see. Rasmus in Denmark says the Jets suck, but so did we. Hey, guys, and Andy. We lost to the Jets. That was one of the most embarrassing defeats I can remember. It looked like our guys weren't even trying for the first three quarters. I do think that had Brady not thrown that stupid interception and had Crumpler held on to that touchdown, we would have won. But the Jets beat us, plain and simple. As much as I hate the Jets, I have to say that they earned this win, but still F the Jets. The only positive about this loss is that we can look forward to the draft. I've listed a few players. Okay, well, we're not going to get into
reading
your list of draft picks. But, no, we do have a lot of draft coming up. It's going to be fun. And, you know, we've got that to look forward to. David writes in, horrible way to end the season, and this loss to the Jets only further enhances my hate for that team. I'd like to just bring us up a couple topics for you guys to consider and talk about. Our defense needs to get stronger by either drafting or acquiring a pressure defensive player that makes an offense have to worry. We have good, strong players like Mayo and Wilfork, but we don't have a Ware or Revis. Why couldn't we get pressure on Sanders by blitzing, but the Jets could send three and sack Brady all day long? And what would be worse, the Jets winning the Super Bowl or Big Ben getting his third ring, thus stealing a lot of Brady's touted glory of having three rings?
Apparently that's going to be the common question for the rest of the week.
I don't have an answer for it. I hate those.
Man.
I guess I go with the Jets. I'd rather have the Jets not win.
I think you have to. From a Patriots fans' perspective.
But, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, that the Patriots have fans take a lot of pride in the fact that they're the only one with the three.
Yeah.
Now, not only someone else would have three, they've had three since you last won one.
And as an organization, the Steelers already have, what is it, six Super Bowls? Yeah. Oh, God. I guess I'd rather see the Jets.
A few things that all – well, you hate Roethlisberger.
I really do.
I'd rather see the Steelers win than the Jets. I just cannot.
That's why I'm rooting for the Packers.
The Jets, right, right.
Poor Bears.
Writes
no one's
in,
even talking about them.
Yeah, but Jay Cutler's annoying. Yeah. He's a crybaby.
I want the Packers because then whoever gets in from the AFC, the Packers have the best chance of beating them over the Bears.
The Bears will not win the Super Bowl.
A few things that all Patriots fans have to admit after this loss in our recent history. This is Kamani. One, Rex Ryan is a very good coach. The 7-minute drive to nowhere was all him. Two, Mark Sanchez doesn't suck. Three, Tom Brady, just like Peyton Manning, doesn't play well when you pressure him. And four, Bill Belichick is an insecure, self-righteous, egomaniac who has been exposed. Wow.
Wow.
I don't know where that comes from. Wes Welker's interview was witty and funny. It was just done in such a way as to finally take a shot back at the Jets while not providing the typical bulletin board material. Unfortunately for Wes and the rest of his teammates, their coach is not very witty. He's a robot, and there is nothing underneath his skin but circuitry. He can't relate to the fact that his players need to let off some steam against a team that has been spitting in their face all week. All he knows is that someone said something about the Jets. His thinking is very linear. Like a computer, there is no nuance there. The reason that Belichick is so obsessed with his players talking about the opposing team is because he can't handle the scrutiny or the pressure. His players don't have a problem mouthing off about the other team. They can handle the pressure. Belichick is the one who can't handle it, and it is starting to show in games now. That fake punt was a sure sign of desperation. He did the same thing in the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that Welker not starting is the reason that they lost the game. They lost the game on many different levels. They just didn't even get a chance to give a final battle cry before going into battle. Belichick just let the Jets mouth off and then kicked the Pats' ass.
Well, there's some question about that fake punt and who called it. Because when Bill was asked about it in the press conference, he was asked specifically whether he signed off on the call, and he wouldn't answer the question.
He just said it was a mistake.
He said it was a mistake. He was asked, did you sign off on it? And he said, I'm not going to answer that. I've already talked right. about it. And then Chung yesterday in the locker room said repeatedly, I take full responsibility for that. I take full responsibility for it.
I think it was Belichick's call. He would have said, yeah, he made the call.
It's his call. It's his responsibility. Well, I don't care how many steps back you want to go.
If it's open season on Bill, I'm with Andy.
This is
ultimately his call, and I think the fact that he didn't come out and protect his players yesterday is another bad.
Well,
thing.
I want to talk about that.
Doesn't he always say
always?
It's my responsibility. I'm the one.
That's what struck me as so odd. Even when you're looking, you're saying, Bill, really? I know that wasn't your fault. Right. Bill, you didn't drop the touchdown.
I want to talk
pass.
About that, and I want to talk about the Wes Welker thing in a minute when we come back.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in Progress.
This is weird, huh? Using the internet on an airplane?
Yeah, American Airlines did a good thing here, putting Wi-Fi on their flights.
You know, I actually had the idea a while back.
For Wi-Fi?
Yeah, but my idea wasn't called Wi-Fi.
Okay, what was it called, Brian?
It was called Bri-Fi.
Wow, that's very clever, Brian.
Yeah? Get it? Bri-Fi.
Unfortunately, I do.
Because I'm the Bri?
Wi-Fi. Now available on select flights. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
He's the model of speed and precision. A machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Cell phones used to be just cell phones, but today, you can't live without them, like water or coffee. They're indispensable. Take AA.com Mobile from American Airlines. I can book a flight, switch seats, or change my itinerary, all while I'm in line at the coffee shop. It's a wonder I ever put this thing down.
Manage your flight from the palm of your hand with AA.com Mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Of course, when it's time to pick up my double foam mega mocha latte, sometimes I need a free hand.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Before the break, we started talking a little bit about the Patrick Chung or the fake punt and also Wes Welker. Let me just say what I want to say, then you can attack me, because if I don't get it out early, I'll never get it two words in edgewise. First of all, with the Welker, because that happened first. Obviously, everybody in the world knows that just before the game, Jim Nance came on breathlessly and said, you know, this just in, the Patriots will be benching Wes Welker to start the game because of his comments made to Rex Ryan. Whether or not you think that's the right call, I know Vince Wilfork came out yesterday and said he disagreed with it. He wouldn't have done that, although we didn't find out about it till after the game. We'll talk about whether or not it was a good thing to do in a second, but I think the reason Belichick did it is because of the personal nature. You know, after everything is said and done, Belichick, as we know, is a very private person. Yet, through his career here, he's had some attacks on his personal life. You know, whether it's, you know, this thing in New Jersey with the girlfriend or...
You probably could just avoid the specifics.
Whatever. But he knows what it's like.
People do their research.
He knows what it's like to be personally attacked off the field, and he doesn't like it. And I think that what he did with Welker was nothing more than a message to Rex Ryan saying, I didn't approve of that. That's all it was.
You think he really cares what Rex Ryan thinks about
that? I think he's a coach. Rex Ryan's a head coach. I think after everything is said and done, there's a mutual fraternity there. And I think that I don't like it when it happens to me. And if one of my guys does it, I don't like that either. And all that was a message to Rex Ryan saying, I don't approve of what he did. That's all that was. Now,
it's a great theory.
That's what I believe, and I that's why I think they made it so public.
Is that in the best interest of his football team?
That's another question. We can talk about that in a second. But I think that's why he did it. Now, as far as the Patrick Chung thing, I know you guys are saying ultimately the blame has to go on Bill Belichick, and I think there's definitely some credence there. But we've seen after game where Belichick said, you know, I take the blame. We need to coach better. I don't know why in this instance he said it was a mistake. Why? I mean, I think he was taken aback by that, what happened on the field. I don't think he expected Chung to do that, if he in fact did.
Not only did he say it was a mistake, which is fine, he didn't say it was his mistake.
Right.
He left it open to interpretation, and he usually doesn't leave it open to interpretation. He usually says, you know, lays it on himself for the coaching staff, you know? Ultimately, we're responsible.
And that's
true. He didn't do that.
That's true, especially in this case. And that's why it's his call. If we're going to credit him 1,000 times for, I mean, they go over everything on Friday afternoon, they're the best prepared, then I got to give him the blame that however they installed this fake punt, whatever leeway Patrick Chung has or Scott O'Brien has to call it, because every fake punt, You don't fake it from the sideline. You fake it from the field. That's the one thing I agree with the Aussie on. He was talking about an EEI yesterday. A fake punt is designed against a certain look for the most part. It's not just we're just going to catch them off guard. We think we can catch them off guard because they're doing X and we can do Y, and it's a chance to make a play. Mm-hmm. So the every up back goes in looking for something, whatever it is, you know, overload to one side or whatever.
Which is why when you saw him line up on the right,
which is
of
my
the ball
guess
instead
is
of the left, you,
part of their
your
fake
first
punt
was,
is whichever side they're overloaded to,
go to the
you
other.
Go on the other side. To me, that's stupid. That's a giveaway immediately, because that guy's been lining up left of center. Why is he now on the right side? What's going on? If I'm a linebacker and I see that, I'm already kind of on my toes. Something's a little fishy here. But it's Bill's call whether he whether on the sideline he called it or pregame they said, you know, he meets with Scott O'Brien. You know, we got that fake punt that, you know, we haven't used it all year. It might be a nice matchup this week. XYZ, here's where we... At some point, he signed off on it.
I believe
he probably signed off on it on the sideline. Now, I think there was a physical mistake. He didn't catch the football.
Right.
I think he would have run for the first down. Still a questionable call, in my opinion, because you're going to still have to drive to points. And the risk is you give the Jets a bigger lead at halftime, which is what you did.
Right. That, no matter how you slice it, it was a questionable call. Whether it came from the sideline, whether it was a green light that Chung had based on a look, it was a bad call.
But if it
compounded
works,
by a physical
mistake. Are
we all
mistake. Agreeing on that?
Yes.
I think working or not is irrelevant. I thought going for two was the wrong call, and that worked. So it's not the outcome of the play that I'm questioning. And where I agree with Andy on this is whether or not it was the sideline or the whatever the mechanics, the machinations that went into the play call, they go over everything, as Andy said. So there needs to be, hey, listen, I know that you guys have the freedom to check into this if you see a certain look, but there's a minute and 30 left in the half. we're down 4 points and we're on our own 38-yard line. I don't want that here. At this time and situation, I don't want that here. If they get credit for going over everything that happens, then there should be parameters. Listen, inside of 2 minutes of the half, we're not, you know, in our deep in our own territory. We're not, that's not what we're looking for.
So it's almost like a guy who has a green light on the Bates pass.
Right.
At some point, the manager says, it's
exactly.
off.
If
right.
you have
Everything's off.
If you have a green light, but, you know, you're down a run with first and third in the last inning and the guy gets thrown out at second trying to steal, you have explaining to do.
Right.
Even if he has the green light. The manager has explaining to do.
Right.
You can't just say, well, I give him the green light.
You can't assume that the player knows when or when not to turn off
right.
the green light.
I mean, that, I think that's Andy's point right there.
It's a fair point.
On your Welker thing, Freddie, I think you nailed it. I think that's what Belichick did. I have no problem with him sitting him out as a result.
I do.
I have no problem with the whole thing. I have no problem with trash talk in general. As you know, I think it's meaningless. I think
it's hazing. When does trash talk become personal? Like,
no.
When is it
no.
over the line?
Well, to me, never. But that's beside the point. That's not really relevant here. My point is,
especially when the target is a woman.
If you want, I personally think the Patriots do an awful lot of trash talking. And we'll veer off into another tangent here. To be upset at the way the Jets carried themselves on the field, to me, was laughable. That's what the Patriots did on Monday night 6 weeks ago.
Yep.
They did the airplane thing coming off the field after their 17 touchdowns.
No, there's no doubt the Patriots rubbed the Jets' nose in
for,
it.
For Deion Branch
yeah,
to be
was,
that,
that
upset
that
about
silly.
The way they – that sounded like the Chargers in no sense.
Yeah, it's sour
It was
grapes.
Embarrassing.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. No, I agree with that. I was.
I wonder why you're so down on Branch. He's called him a nice little player several
no,
times in the show.
I was disappointed that – and I'm sure that Branch – was emotional after the game and all that. But I was disappointed that we mentioned it. It does suck to see another team celebrate, especially when it's on your field. I mean,
oh, the backflip was.
But that he does that after every game, so I didn't worry about that.
Yeah,
but
you don't want to. No, but you don't want to see it on your field.
The point is,
but
you know
what?
Win the game then, and then you won't see it.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like you know, they worried about you know, the touchdown celebrations. Well, you know, like Jason Taylor said. Don't let them score a touchdown. They won't celebrate.
Right.
So I was disappointed that Branch went there.
I don't know. Branch was doing a lot of celebrating during that game. They were losing.
Right.
That's the part I just didn't like. He was talking trash while they were getting manhandled and then got mad when the other team celebrated.
In his defense, that one time where he was getting on at it with the sideline, he said that he had gone over to see how Bart Scott was because Bart Scott was on one knee. Oh, no, Revis. I'm sorry, Revis. He went to see how Revis was, and Bart Scott came up to Branch and told him, you know, get the hell out of here. Get into your MFing huddle. And so Branch went back and forth there, and then the sideline got into it. So Branch said that's why he was over there, was honestly to see how Revis was. And then he started getting
yelled
at.
Very Belichickian by Bart Scott.
You know.
Get away from my effing player.
Right. You know, but... The whole thing with the whole they weren't classy. That's what every team does after a game like
that,
no matter where they
are. By
the
way, they weren't classy. They weren't classy at all, the Jets. They were classless.
You know?
But that's what you did on the Monday night 6 weeks ago.
I got no problem with that. I like celebrating.
Bart Scott's interview with Sal Palantonio was
atrocious. We haven't gotten to the Tom Jackson thing yet, have we?
Well, listen. I know the media hates the Patriots as you know. Even though I think they've handled the Patriots pretty well this season, giving them the props, most of them picking, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, they've been treating them unfairly, but you could see the giddiness from these guys once the Patriots lost. You know that they were all wanted the Patriots to lose, that they didn't want to have to cover another Patriots Super Bowl.
Was that Paul, or who are you talking about?
Well, yeah, it starts here. It starts here, and then it goes to ESPN. But, you know, I was reading.
Are we really going to go there?
I was reading
or
today.
Or am I going to quote directly?
I don't know. You were drinking
else,
pregame.
Somebody else on this show. Am I going to quote directly?
What did I do?
Before the game? Not you.
Oh.
Well.
I didn't think we really wanted to go there, do we?
Listen, after the game.
You were drunk. What are you
The guy, about? You know, he hates. This team hates their coach guy. Remember him, mm-hmm. Tom Jackson? Picked the Patriots to win the game on ESPN, along with
Did
Keyshawn.
You hear this, Andy? Do
well,
you know about
Fred
this?
Told
yeah.
Him.
Oh, okay. Unbelievable.
After the game, admits.
Wait, did you not hear it?
Not until today.
I didn't hear it. What did he do afterwards?
Fred, did this really happen?
Oh, no. I heard it today on the radio, not from Fred. I heard the whole audio.
So how did he say it exactly?
Well, I just read it in the clips.
Boom.
I just read it in the clips, and he said that the only reason he picked the Patriots to win was to motivate the Jets' defense.
Where did he say that? On the air?
No. He said...
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. Do you need to
read the message is the same. Oh, the message is the same. He picked the Patriots to win the game, and Bart Scott torched him. Evidently, he picked the Patriots to blow him out because Bart Scott singled out Tom Jackson. And he said, I didn't think that they needed another guy saying, well, they could lose 24-21, make it, you know, so they had a chance to win the game at the end. I thought that they needed to remember the 45-3 beatdown that they got. And he went on and on. And
who is he, their coach?
And then he said, and it worked. So basically, he's taking credit for motivating the Patriots.
Right.
The Jets. And then he said, I just want to make one thing clear. I'm a huge fan of the Jets. I'm a huge fan of Rex Ryan. I'm a huge fan of that defense. So basically, he's saying, I didn't pick what I thought was going to happen.
Right.
I try to reverse psychology to motivate the team that I wanted to win.
And he's a professional?
No, he isn't.
Then you turn on NFL Network, and Paul saw this, and they're having a party.
The postgame.
You know, at least Rich Eisen admits he's a Jets fan.
Rich Eisen's a Jets fan.
But they need every pair of eyeballs they can get, including New England's. Everybody in New England switched that off because they're having a party because
the
Jets
won. But they were laughing, giddy, like Fred's term of giddy was accurate.
Was what's his name there?
And you know me, I usually go the other way. I'm like, Fred.
Marshall Faulk, part of it?
No, this is the
wanting his ring back?
Mooch, Irvin, and Dion with Eisen for that wrap-up show. And they didn't say anything that was, like, over-the-top bad, but, like, he called, like, he made a comment to Welker when he got lit up on the goal line. He said, and he gets something like his tiny little feet knocked off his tiny little feet or something like that. I mean, just over-the-top excited.
That's okay, but, I mean, Rich Eisen is a proclaimed Jets fan.
Why are there so many of those? Because the guy I was listening to on the radio on my ride home was a Jets fan, and Mike is a Jets fan.
They're all from New York.
I thought the Jets weren't a fun team to root for, though. Why do they all still root
for them? It's like the Mets. They're like the Mets, you know?
I do think I want to praise Rex Ryan because the entire week last week, right up and through the beginning of this week, I think he handled masterfully. I mean, everybody thinks he's this clown and doesn't know what he's doing and joke. On the media side, he was saying, put it on me. We lost that game because of me. Players are good enough, which I think was a great message. And behind closed doors, he was pulling a Belichick by going, strictly facts. Tom Brady's not unbeatable. Here's his stats in his last three playoff games. Just look at these. This is what you're facing on Sunday. You're a good defense. This is what you can do to him. Yeah. To me, that's very Belichick.
There was so many things, just put numbers
in front of guys.
So many things coming out of the locker room Sunday night. I don't think I got a chance to talk to you. And I don't know how much you guys heard of Ryan. But the very first thing we talked about, oh, he's putting it all on himself, and you questioned whether or not he was taking credit.
He took it all off himself.
Just the opposite. His opening remarks were, I said it was going to be between me and Belichick, and it's a good thing it wasn't because, again, Bill Belichick outcoached me.
Right.
That was a blowout.
That's why I said straight through the game.
He said this was all about the players executing, and our players deserve all the credit.
8 days of domination, now, seven days of domination
again,
for me in that area.
You can say you don't believe one word Ryan said.
No, I do though.
But he said it.
He took all the attention. All I did was prepare him, or they. Or
he took
I
all the attention during the
something.
Week, but he gave the players all the credit.
I know Andy's in
great
love
week.
With Rex Ryan, but
no, I'm not. I actually don't care for him.
I will still say this though about Ryan.
I still don't think you can win with a guy running down to the end zone doing jumping jacks with your running back.
I think
something's going to happen there, and it's going to self destruct in a big spot.
I think he's entertaining as hell, but I also think he's got an ego the size of New York. Well, and
they all do.
Another indication of that is, you know, on the radio,
ours is the size of the country.
They were
Josh McDaniels is the size of the globe, and I mean, all these coaches have huge egos.
They were replaying the game against the Colts where they had, I guess they had Ryan a little wired up, or they had a parabolic on him, or whatever, but.
Easy for you to say.
You know, and while Vinatieri was lining up for his field goal, he's like, oh, come on, just miss one. This guy never misses. You know, he laid five on me, you know, back in Baltimore.
Of all the things, I heard that whole wired up. Out of all the things that, I heard that, and I said to myself, I'll bet you Fred will have a problem with that.
Because
he'll misunderstand what he meant.
It is all about him.
Right, exactly.
He didn't beat the Ravens, he beat Rex Ryan. He is. He has a huge, huge ego.
They all do.
They all do.
Well, they do, but I think this guy is a little bit bigger than most.
See, I think the difference isn't the ego difference. He's one of the players. It's him. It's personal. He feels like I am one of the guys on the field, for better or worse. Whether he's joking around as one of the guys or getting beat, whatever, he feels like he is on the field. Like, by extension or whatever. I think he feels closer to the action than some coaches
do. He might. Let's see.
On that thing.
Are you all right there, Paul?
In the tailpipe there?
I
don't think it was in the tailpipe. Oh,
you talk about Maroney getting arrested, by the way?
Yeah, Maroney got arrested for a gun charge.
A gun charge?
Driving around.
Usage.
And drugs,
weapons,
by the way.
Usage and drugs.
And drugs? I didn't hear the drugs.
Publicist claims that, you know, he was just lumped in, that it was...
it was his cousins?
No, there were two cars. One car was chasing another, and he was the third car, and they just arrested all three of them.
And then, of course, a half hour later, all the jokes came from the cars.
He had nothing to do with it.
He couldn't follow his... He certainly wasn't following because it was like his offensive lineman.
But the way they made it sounded like a high-speed chase. Okay, maybe it was a gang, like... Right. Two cars. Well, why are you going the exact same speed as the two cars?
Well, I heard they wouldn't have pulled him over except the light turned green. He hesitated.
That's a good spin on the jokes.
That was a good spin on all those jokes.
Where did this happen?
St. Louis.
St. Louis. FX thing with the sound effects thing with Rex Ryan.
I was thinking.
You fixated on the field goal thing, but to me, why I think that he will ultimately fall short. I think he's a really, really good coach. But I don't think he has the attention to detail for the whole operation that Belichick does. They're talking about at the end of that game. Did you hear this one, Andy? When they were before the play before the long fade to Braylon Edwards to make it a chip shot. Schottenheimer goes up to him and says, "Rex, we want to get closer here. Do you want to run or throw? We need to get closer here. Do you want to run or throw?" And he goes, "Hell yeah!" And it's all beeped out, you know. Right. So you can only imagine what he was saying. It was probably F this and F that. "Yeah, we need to get closer." And he goes, "Well, you want to run a throw?" And he goes, "I don't give a beep, beep, beep."
Right.
You're the head coach. You should have a handle on the situation here.
That's being a jackass.
Bill might have said flatly the wrong thing, but he would have been flatline. He would have been, "I'm prepared for this. I'm not out of my."
He definitely would have had an answer.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is he would have been prepared to answer.
Right.
It may not have been
thinking. So
he would have been thinking.
Probably wouldn't have had to be yelled at. He probably would have been the one leading the
Bill's
discussion.
Never
he would have never needed to have been
in
asked
the
in the first
moment.
Place.
Yeah. But they're
that's,
all flawed. There's no
point.
Perfect coach.
But
he's
just
clearly
think,
a defensive guy.
The
offense is just there because you have to field 11 guys to go against their defense.
He
believes defense wins. He has no care. They are extra baggage to him. They must be treated like kickers in that place because he's all defense.
But I thought that was an interesting. And then obviously they got bailed out because Jim Caldwell, who was not only doesn't have the game situation a handle on that, he evidently doesn't do anything because he calls a timeout and allows the Jets to talk about this play. And Sanchez ultimately called it, and they won the game.
Oh, my God. Lyndon writes in from California, "So is this what it feels to be a Colts fan? We have the MVP as a QB, the highest scoring offense, the best record in the league, send one-third of our starters to the Pro Bowl, and lose our first playoff game. I was surprised that Ben Jarvis wasn't a bigger part of the
game."
What's that?
Those are all facts. I have a hard time arguing with any of that.
"I was surprised that Ben Jarvis wasn't a bigger part of the game plan. Did this surprise any of you? By the end of the first quarter, I started having flashbacks of the Giants Super Bowl, spread offense, can't run the ball, the other team's defense teeing off on Brady. This past week, I tried to keep telling myself that if the Pats didn't win the Super Bowl, it was still a good year considering it was going to be a rebuilding year. But this still really sucks. This morning, first day back at work, I've already heard trash from Vikings, Raiders, Chargers, Cowboys, Titans, and Bears fans. The Pats' future is bright, but it's hard to see that right now."
Half those teams you listed didn't make the postseason.
Oh, they're still making fun of
them. Taking crap from all of them.
This offseason, and where does he work in, like, where there's all these different football fans?
Maybe he's in
the United
Silicon
Nations.
Valley.
Yeah. This offseason, do you see the Pats taking a shot at, how do you say it, Asmaga?
Asamoah. No, he'll get paid a ton of money.
And or Chad Johnson, are there any good pass rushers out there that you think will be available?
It's finally happened. Chad Johnson now sounded wrong. For so long there, I said Chad Johnson because Ocho Cinco sounded wrong. It's finally crossed over where I now think of him as Chad Ocho Cinco. I think Ocho Cinco is a possibility.
Last week when Paul asked about a 10-game trend, all I heard was 10-game span. less than 75% winning percentage. My boss was standing in my office, and I was having a hard time listening to you guys while he was telling me what I needed to do. Tell your boss to get the hell out of there. Sometimes they actually expect me to work for my paycheck. Here are a few new few trends. 5-5 in the last 10 playoff games. I believe Brady Belichick started 9-0. 5-5 last 10 games against Indianapolis. 6-4 last 10 games in indoor stadiums, domes, retractable roofs.
I'm going to blame it on your boss, but that's not what we were looking for.
And 3-4 since 2000 in Indianapolis. Not a large enough sampling, but still interesting. So.
Yeah, no, what I was looking for was like 10 games that they were favored by 10 points or more, the last 10 games. You know, did they have a losing? They worse than 75% or stuff like that. Not, you know, the last 10 playoff games. I mean, I think we kind of all knew that.
Yemi from Texas says, Paul's
for the last three favored by a total of 24.5 points in those games. And you're 0-3.
Yemi from Texas says, Paul's been right about the Patriots for a while now. One, if our defense doesn't
He had them winning the Super Bowl, so how was he right about it?
Let me finish the email.
You had them winning the Super Bowl.
I did?
Yeah, we said it. You said, I will not be picking against them. They are the favorite. They're going to win the Super Bowl.
I said they'll be favorites all the way.
You said you were picking them to win the Super Bowl.
Well, I don't
You wouldn't have?
I don't think
no,
that's
I did,
accurate.
But I'm asking how he was right. Because
I was,
we were wrong
I was
by
planning.
But there's other more subtle things he wants to bring up, if you'll let me read the email.
Sorry.
I was wrong about a ton of things this year, but I don't think I said that.
You did.
Because I was going to pick Baltimore if we pick Baltimore. I'll tell you that.
You said you were picking them throughout the postseason, actually, and you said you'd be picking them to win the Super Bowl. You won't pick against
Welcome to my world, Fred.
Yemi
this
says
is
how
you doing
this
here.
This is how you get right. You just people
it's
don't
the
listen.
The off season.
I don't understand him.
What during the season?
I like
when you're needed.
We've been having a show and Eric is just putting away his picnic that he's brought. Like all these other, you know.
I'm sorry. Go on with the email and trash me.
Yemi says Paul says if our defense doesn't get turnovers, they can't stop anybody, and the game will be close. That could mean our offense was not really that good. Two, the Patriots or
Paul said that. I'll give him that.
The Patriots or Belichick way is not the only way to win football games. Well, we all know that. And three.
No, you didn't know that until Saturday or Sunday.
Oh, come on. We need to stop this arrogance that free agents in their primes will come to the Patriots for less money. That caller from Naples, Florida, was mocking Paul the other day for saying Steven Jackson would not come to the Patriots for less money because other teams can win, too. Julius Peppers went to the highest bidder, and his team is hosting the NFC Championship game. I don't think he regrets taking the most money. To finish, I would like to know when Brady found out about the Welker benching. This could explain his dull emotion before the game. I'm not buying that.
I'd like to know when Welker found out. He was asked about that, and he claims it was, you know, he found out at the time.
Can we
certainly what it looked like.
Can
when
we
he didn't
talk a little bit about the Welker thing more?
Sure.
Can we kind of get into that?
Sure.
Do you think it had much of an impact in the game?
I have no idea.
I don't, but I'd like
and
to
I'm
know
how you
I'd like to hear what you have to
I'm
say.
I'm not talking about
I think it could.
I'm not talking physically, because obviously it didn't physically. They had a good drive to start the game.
Right.
That was the only time he wasn't on the field. But I think emotionally it may have had an impact.
On the
may
team?
Have.
On
and
the,
again,
on the team
said,
or on him?
Yeah,
you just
Wilford
said
says he didn't even know until after the game.
But other guys did.
Brady certainly knew.
Brady knew.
Yeah.
And offensive guys knew. I'm wondering if maybe some young guy said, wow, he benched him. What if I screw up? Am I going to get benched?
Right.
Well,
the answer to that is yes. I mean, that's always been the way.
But is it really screwing up? I mean,
well, that's the thing. The only thing I could say with Paul is, let's say you just heard about this. You're on the Patriots. You're about to go on the field. Just heard, wow, Welker's being benched from what he said about Ryan. I mean, at what point do we stick up for our own guys?
Yeah, is there any there any anger there? And I don't know. I don't have the answer to this.
I'm not saying
it happened.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, is there anything about it that someone might have said, really? You're benching him for that?
You know,
that's not right.
I just think I asked you earlier. I don't think it's in the best interest of your football
team
in any way.
This is what I'm about to say.
At all.
I'm about to agree with you to a point. You know, Bill always says I do what's in the best interest of the team. If you believe what I said earlier, it had nothing to do with what's in the best interest of the team.
Exactly.
And more about Belichick sending a message to Ryan saying, hey, I'm with you. I didn't agree with that.
Right. His personal beliefs were more important than the team.
Right. And I think there was he could have done that in another way, like when it first happened, calling Rex and saying, hey, I'm fining the guy.
Or he could have, if he wanted it so public, when somebody asked him, do you give Wes Welker bonus points for creativity in his retort. Say, no, actually, I don't. I thought it was totally unprofessional, yeah. Inappropriate.
So
we do not support that in any way here.
I think that there was another way.
That's public.
As good a way that he could have done that.
A much better
set
way.
Set the message to Rex Ryan.
He hurt his team.
He was
he
asked
put
about
his best team
on
the field.
I don't know if he hurt his team.
No, but
it wasn't necessarily
it.
In the best interest
he
of the team.
He didn't put his best team on the field to start the game. It was irrelevant. They were moving the ball. Okay. But you didn't know that. You could have gone three and out there and given up, you know, a blocked punt for a touchdown, and you go, well, that hurt the team. He didn't have his best players on the team. It didn't end up playing out, but it wasn't in the best interest of his team. You cannot argue that.
He
That's
was asked.
Well, do you think that he could make the argument that I need to stop these things? I need to nip them in a bud and show everybody that I don't care what the time,
no, I'm using
place, and
Fred's
circumstances
argument,
is.
But
I'm
he
using,
could have done that in another way.
And he had the chance Fred's on argument. Friday. Yeah. In this press conference on Friday, he was asked specifically about Welker's comments, and he refused to talk about
it. No, my point is, by the benching, he could have said anything that you want. But to get the message across that there will be repercussions that will hurt you, to do that.
I'm using Fred's theory that the reason he did it is because personal is off limits for Bill Belichick, and this
he
was
knows what that feels like.
Right.
Right.
That's not in the best. That's a personal decision.
Right.
That's not a team decision.
But that's assuming that Fred's reason
right.
is right.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm using his, and I think it's very believable.
Listen, it might have been. It might have.
Because otherwise, I think it's just stupid then that it was not that big a deal. Find the guy. Your way has to work to send a message.
Right.
If it's not a message, if it's just a team rule, just find the guy
and
or
make it
do whatever.
If you need the public to know it,
right.
then make it public.
Whatever.
But, you know.
Well,
exactly.
That's another one I wanted to get at with you guys is do you think he just told Nance and Sims in the production meeting that he was doing it.
I don't even think it was in the production meeting because that was the night before.
It sounded like
it was a call to the booth.
It might have been
right before the game.
With the way Nance announced
right before
it,
the kickoff.
The way Nance announced
yes.
it sounded like he had
absolutely.
Just heard
I don't
about
even.
It.
I think it was up to the minute they just called him because they wanted to have that dramatic.
Well,
you know,
how about this?
Because why even say it? You
how
know,
about this then?
There's a good chance if nothing had ever happened that Welker wouldn't be out there for the first series. It's happened before this year. It's just a formation based on a look.
Oh, no. That's a play, not a whole series.
Well, whatever.
Don't confuse that he didn't start because he wasn't on the field for the first play with that he didn't play in the first series.
Well, but what
There's
if,
a difference.
I don't know. What if they said,
that
wasn't
like an eight-play drive.
We're just going to ram it down. We're going to go with two tight ends. We're going to go with Ben Jarvis in the backfield.
And that's not happened one time all season that they've done that.
But, I mean, if it had happened and we didn't know anything about this, I don't think we would have blinked an eye.
Shame on us then if we didn't.
Well, I don't
shame on us.
You know,
we certainly wouldn't have to start.
Yeah, and,
as the drive wore on, we might have said,
"Exactly,
why is Welker not out there?"
Yeah,
awfully odd that Welker hasn't been on the field for a whatever you know six, seven, eight play drive. To me, it's like Richard Seymour that day. Is it impossible that he wasn't on the field for the first down? Well, maybe the other team came out five wide. They had eight defensive backs in the game, and they were minus a defense. Sure, but for a whole series, something's up. Shame on us if we didn't realize that, if they didn't tell us.
Nano writes in, saw Andy with Borges on Felger's TV show last night.
You didn't hear him, though.
Borges attempted to assert himself as the alpha dog, and instead of peeing on Andy's chair, opted to try to destroy Andy's credibility by asking, did you watch the game, bro?
He destroyed your credibility?
Oh, no. Someone would have to have credibility on their own to destroy mine.
Do you want me to fight him?
The man lacks credibility.
Well,
it was a terrible TV segment because the host, Michael Felger.
Because you didn't get to talk?
No, there were like seven things that they wanted to go over.
What you did there?
And Felger, as he does on his radio
that
show,
800 number,
picked one point and just tried to keep beating it and asking Borges, because Borges he couldn't have fixed blame for why they lost and why
give
they've lost three
break.
Straight postseason games. And Felger kept saying, but you don't, I'm giving you a chance to place the blame somewhere here and you won't. And he kept going back rather than moving on to the other 6 points that they were supposed to get to.
That
in
they
the
go
segment.
Over with you before
yes.
you go on.
It
was,
we never got
it,
to
it. It was literally a conversation between Michael and
no,
Borges.
It wasn't. You clearly didn't watch the whole thing.
Oh, I watched it.
There was a
and then
segment
I turned the channel because it was awful.
Well, then, you didn't watch the whole thing. That's what I just said.
Well,
so
Nano,
and then you said,
so
no,
did,
I watched it. No, you turned the channel.
So what did Borges snap
well,
at
let's
you
read
about?
Nano's
no,
email.
No, he got to his whole thing
well,
that
now I want to have a little background.
They're just not good.
Well,
then I'll understand.
They're just not good.
He's going to give it
the Patriots just aren't good?
Yeah. He got back to his, what is it, Jimmy's and Joe's? Just not that good.
Anyway,
it's like you on the AK-47
Nano's
show,
interpretation.
Except you really don't talk on that.
Nano's interpretation.
Screw Nano!
At least you don't see me.
Nano's interpretation is I actually thought Andy handled himself pretty well.
I like you, Nano.
I would give his overall performance a B. Unfortunately, Andy's voice got a little soft when he responded to Ron, which made him sound a bit weak.
Well, I've been told yell on that show in the past.
And we also know that Andy is good at coming up with quick comebacks, at least when the target is a PFW member, but instead Andy opted to remain professional.
Yeah.
Next time, Andy, don't take that crap. Let Ron have it. Also, what is up with Belichick leaving Chung out to dry? I get that Chung made a fake punt call. However, why hasn't Belichick publicly come out and said it isn't all on Chung? A good leader protects those who work for him. Belichick is a good leader, so where is the public protection of Chung? Looking forward to Andy and Eric's excellent draft coverage.
I don't think there's any question about it.
At least mine.
Me too.
So
yeah, there's the quick shot at the fellow PFW
for
member.
The follow-up, Borges and I went at it for about 20 minutes in the parking lot yelling at each other. It was effing freezing. It was 11 degrees, and all I had on was my sports coat, and we were arguing back and forth.
But what were you arguing about?
Well, I was talking a little bit about my theory that Belichick's whole business-like approach has kind of worn thin. They don't have the players now. You know, maybe it's because some of the leaders are gone and they played a key role, whatever. And he just goes back. He thinks coaches are useless. He thinks it's all about whichever team rolls out the best 22 players is going to win.
Well, this definitely.
And I disagree with him. I think coaching plays a significant role.
No, but this game definitely fed into that argument he's always had. It's all about the horses. And, you know, the Jets, on paper, have a more talented team. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but I think marginally. I don't think they are, like, 100 times better than the Patriots.
Well, then all of a sudden that changed from what we were saying at the beginning of the season.
See, I don't think so.
Not for Andy.
No, everybody on this show said the Jets have the most talent.
Right.
Yes, but
yes.
Not.
That's exactly what he just said.
But it's I think
and
coaches
that feeds
play a
into
role.
Borges' argument.
Right, but it's not like they played the Bills or whoever you think the best team in football is. To me, it's not that far off. And I kept saying, I think coaching matters. You know, whatever you want to anoint the percentage, if it's 5%, 7%.
Especially in the NFL.
He thinks it's like 99.8% players
wrong.
And
he's
coaches
wrong.
Are just kind of along for the ride.
He's wrong.
Well, I know, and that's what I told him in the parking lot.
You know, tell that to the Rams.
Thought he was going to hit me. He got all in my face yelling at me.
Tell that to the Rams in 2001 with Mike Martz or Brad Childress with the Vikings.
Coaching,
you don't think that matters that those guys are idiots?
Coaching is big. There's no question Borges is off on that. I understand what his larger point is. He's a lot like us.
I agree with his larger point.
He exaggerates
to
make his point.
That's what he does.
And he makes himself. That's what's gotten him in trouble in the first place.
And no one on this show does that.
I started off by saying, much like us,
but
he exaggerates to make his point.
Oftentimes, we admit it.
I said us.
We admit it.
No, Andy.
What, you don't do it?
I don't exaggerate.
You don't exaggerate?
No.
What happened to Julian Edelman over the middle in Cleveland?
To make a point?
What happened to Julian Edelman over the middle in Cleveland?
That was a joke.
That was exaggeration.
It was a joke. But that was so over the top that, you know, there was no doubt that it was a joke.
Okay.
When Borges says it,
so from noon to two, a good one, basically, you're a joke. Because it's usually over the top with you.
Let's see. Brett in Leominster says, all I can say is I'm disappointed. I hear a lot of talk about clock management and other reasons the Pats didn't win. All I know is they just didn't look like they cared that much. It looked like they weren't even trying to win.
That's not true.
It was such a weird game. I hope the Steelers beat the Jets next week and Green Bay wins the Super Bowl. Hey, at least we get a better draft pick. although that doesn't help right now. Guys, your ratings are probably going to dip a little now, but I'll be here listening, licking my sores.
Well, Brady,
we have the 28. The Patriots would have the 28th pick.
Right.
Right, instead of 32.
Instead of 32.
Right.
I thought
Brady was about as, I don't know, disconsolate as I've seen him in a long time.
Well,
after
the reports were he was crying in Wes Welker's shoulder.
What?
I don't know. They can't tell me whether this is a
There was a report that Brady was crying next to Wes Welker.
Fred has heard it separately.
I've heard
this
it a
is
couple
from
on
Andy,
the field?
No.
Andy Kent on NFLFanHouse.com or something. And I don't know who can write those, if it's a real reporter or, and it said, was seen sobbing or crying into Wes Welker's shoulder.
Like
and that's
the
not
room?
The first time I heard that.
And Fred has heard it separately from other sources.
Yeah, I mean, that just backs up my feeling. I wasn't in the press conference. You guys were because I went to the Jets. I thought when I watched it afterwards, that was about as down as I've seen. He was not anywhere near that down after Baltimore.
I thought he
last
looked
year.
Medicated. Like,
okay, he might have been in a lot of pain.
Like, seriously, he
that,
looked like somebody who was
shot,
just in, like,
I thought they were going to dislocate his shoulder.
The one, and it, you know, don't
well, hit him in the elbow, too.
Right.
The one shot that he took with first. His arm over his head was a vicious shot. And he may have been medicated.
Yeah.
He may have been.
Fred from Halifax says, here we go again. One bad game, and we don't think our young guys on defense are going to be any good. Unbelievable.
Who said that?
Who said that?
Well.
I said that you better hope that these guys are good, because this is your defense in 5 years. But I didn't say that they weren't good.
How long are we riding this Mayo's a young guy thing? Waiting for the year five jump, Paul?
See, I'm going more with the other guys. I think we know what Mayo is. Mayo is, as I said, not the problem.
Oh, I thought you were going to swear.
I was going to say he's a fine inside linebacker. Right now he's a Pro Bowler.
He was dropping an F-bomb there.
But I don't think he's the problem, is my point. You need those other guys to be good players, because you can't just draft them every year.
But no one's saying Mayo's the problem. The question is whether he's the answer.
But you're making fun of me about the young guys. You're making fun of me about the young guys.
No, I'm making fun of him, who said all the young guys. He was the 10th overall pick in the draft. You used a valuable commodity to get him. If he is what he is right now, I will continue to say he's not worth the pick.
I draft him again. I think he's a solid force in the middle.
Not a 10, I would.
I think he's a stable force, and
great.
I think he's worth it.
Your stable force is lost to the Jets. You need playmakers.
Well, you need other guys, there's no doubt, especially in a 3-4. You need an outside pass rush, and they don't have it.
But I didn't.
It doesn't matter where the plays come from. You need a playmaker. Sean Green ran around that playmaker to kick your ass out of the postseason.
Well.
And I didn't think, by the way, that I didn't need them to lose on Sunday for me to feel like this defense wasn't very good. I haven't thought this defense was very good all season.
But they didn't lose because of the
defense. I know they didn't. I'm not saying they did.
Their defense isn't good enough all year.
To me, their defense isn't good enough to win a title with.
Sure.
That's proven fact. Well, it's
the top six scoring defenses, four of them are playing this week.
Well, here's the thing. I think this is where fans, our listeners, are getting confused with us. See, what Paul is saying is absolutely true.
It has nothing to do with Sunday.
Except in this season, we felt it might be good enough because of the competition.
I did.
In 04, this defense wouldn't even be a question.
But I actually felt very similar in 07. I just thought the offense was so good
exactly.
that it wouldn't matter. And that's what I thought, I guess, Sunday.
So that's
why our offense was so good it wouldn't matter.
So that's why I questioned the beginning. Are the Patriots turning into the Colts where we're too Brady reliant? But I think that the future is bright, because I do see the elements of a great defense being built. And I think if you continue focusing on that, get that outside pass rush, I think that Brady can go back to being the Brady of 03-04, which, by the way, he wasn't putting up 350-yard games every week. It was 240 yards, you know, two touchdowns, three touchdowns here. And then, you know,
he was handing the ball off to
exactly.
1,600 yards,
you know,
for Corey Dillon.
Build,
as part of it.
Build that up.
Defense.
You've got one of the best on-field managers in the game. Get the defense going, and we'll be fine. But the defense this year was not that good. Let's face it. We said it from day one.
Yeah, but that's all I'm saying now. I'm not saying, well, they lost Sunday, so we need to rip this whole thing apart. We don't need to take a machine gun out to shoot, you know, a couple of ants. You know, they're good. They're a good football team with a sound foundation and all the picks like we talked about. It ain't broke. It just needs a little tweaking here and there.
That's it. The foundation, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, it's like your commentary. I think you nailed it like 2 weeks ago. This is the scary part, is that they're going to get better, and they're already pretty good.
But the issue still remains, based on the last three, are they a good regular season football team, and is there a difference?
Well, that's a whole other thing with motivation and how you coach.
No, but I'm not even saying – I'm just saying factually, they've earned playoff spots, but the last three times that we've seen them take the field in playoff situations, they haven't measured up. For whatever reason, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, game plan, prep, whatever. I'm not even questioning what it is.
Look, 08 is what it was. I think 09, I think you were still suffering from some bad drafts prior to that. And I think this is the first year where we've seen, okay, they've got over that hump.
But the last 2 years, certainly, well, I would argue the last three playoff games, we've heard players say we didn't match the intensity. And I don't know why.
That's a huge problem.
I think you always say that when you lose.
Mm,
I really do.
Well, but I would also agree with their assessment that they didn't match the intensity.
I mean, once you get run over like you did against the Ravens, then you get the...
I think they kind of got run over on Sunday.
You get the sack knocked out of you.
I think that there was...
They didn't look that way against the Giants, though.
I think that game against the Jets...
I mean, they did look that way against the Giants.
I think Sunday's game was inches close to that Baltimore game. The difference being Baltimore picked off the pass, picked up the fumble. The Jets kept picking up fumbles and dropping them, and the Patriots would recover them. They ended up not scoring points or anything, but it easily could have been a strip sack touchdown on that one that Crumpler ended up recovering, even though Crumpler's the one that got Brady killed on that play.
Well, maybe
they Andy's were very right. close to being able to
right.
scoop
maybe
up fumbles
Andy's right.
and run
maybe
them back.
Maybe they are wound too tight. And for this but. Type of team, maybe it worked for the McGinnises and the Harrisons and the Vrabels and the Brewskis, but maybe for this type of team, it is just too tight.
Well, now, do you think that comes with
know.
Age? Because I get the vibe that some of these guys, like Patrick Chung, I think could be a leader, a centerpiece, an emotional guy. Do you have to be around 4 or 5 years to become that? I mean, I don't know how that works.
I think there is no
Devin McCourty is not
no
that
substitute
guy.
For experience.
Devin
there
McCourty
no
and Gerard Mayo are not those guys. They are very good players.
Personality wise,
yes,
yeah.
They don't have that in them.
Right.
Yeah. They just want to be professionals, come to work, do their job. I don't know that you draft that. I mean, everybody raved last year. They drafted captains and they did all. I don't think you draft a guy just because you hear. He's an emotional locker room presence. I mean, do you do that? I don't know how you get
you
that.
You also don't pay a guy $45 million to do that.
Well, no. What you don't get is
and
when
then
you already
have
the guy
the
and you pay $45 million, he doesn't change
about.
Him. It doesn't change the
that's
guy.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
You know, he has plenty to say in his contractually obligated WEEI Monday appearance.
He steals my lines.
He runs.
No, I don't like what he did on the field. Late in the game, when the outcome had been decided, he took a cheap shot at Sanchez,
yep.
which, by the way, evidently everybody caught because he caught a lot of static for that.
Right.
Didn't get a flag though for it, did he?
No. That's another.
So everybody but the refs caught.
We don't even have
not
the
a
normal
dirty player though.
The normal Boston lament of we was robbed. We don't even have that because it was
right.
like nothing to point to at all.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. The most interesting Patriots fan in the world is on it. James Pettigrew. Hey, James.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Well, it's okay, I guess.
Lunch was great, though.
Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Well, I thought I may as well. I can't abandon you now, so I'll keep doing Tuesday in the off season as well.
Oh, you're the best!
That's great. Unbelievable.
I love you.
Yeah,
I'm not gay, but I love you.
Just made that big announcement to me. I was fist pumping.
Breaking news.
I was fist pumping.
Not only is he the most interesting man in the world, he's the greatest man that's ever walked the planet. Let's just say.
Thanks very much. Yeah. Now I feel alright.
James, and then Jesus. Is that where you're going with?
Yeah, you're a step ahead of Jimmy Sanders now.
That's pretty good. Well, thanks for that. I feel pretty good. How do I compare to G-Force?
You're ahead of G-Force.
Oh,
yeah.
My
well
God.
Ahead of G-Force.
Right. I feel very excited now. Yeah, well, it's all... Andy, I must say yesterday, I watched the spot with Borges and Felger, and I really felt for you. Those two were
well,
big
it
idiots.
It was a little awkward. I mean, I was surrounded by... your good word there. I won't use it, but you can.
Idiots?
Yeah, well, if I was stuck between those two and had one bullet, I'd probably kill myself.
That's a good line right there.
I mean, and Borges is, I mean, and it's strange, you know, I'm moving to Boston. I don't think I'll ever subscribe to the Herald just on because he writes them. I don't understand whether his wife left him or he's bitter about something else. I just don't. He just seems like an idiot to me.
Well,
I know you guys can't say that, but I definitely can.
The thing is, I like him. I get along really well with him. I talk to him. I just said I talked in the parking lot for like a half hour, 20 minutes afterwards.
You said you argued in the parking
lot. We argued, but it was a friendly argument.
You thought he was going to hit
debate.
You said.
But that's just because I had that image of him hitting that guy with the neck brace on, the old guy at the boxing match. He's done that. He has a history. But I like Borges, but sometimes he can annoy me, and he annoyed me a little. I don't know if you also noticed, he also said about five times, you know, I watched more tape of this game than I'd like to admit. No, you didn't. You did.
Well, no,
you watched your TV
me,
DVR replay. That's not tape. That's not the same thing.
He almost called you unprofessional, and you weren't doing your job properly.
Right, right. He
called you unprofessional?
No, he didn't, but he had a tone. His Borges tone.
Yeah, it was definitely you know, Andy, you obviously didn't watch the game.
Well, and you're so young, you haven't been around the league as long as I have. Yeah. You don't take
Al
Davis's...
No, I know
Davis's.
He didn't talk like that.
No, but that was the tone of all of it, you know.
And the main crux of the argument was whether Gronk should have caught a 3-yard pass, and it was just...
And the throw, yeah, it was...
What I would have said is, you know, at least I don't watch the game through, you know, a filter that says I hate this team.
But
well, no,
to me, then
thing,
I would have crossed over into unprofessional, and I don't want to be that guy.
The transparency
right?
that he
that's
has,
that's what they
too.
Want on that show, though.
Like that's
his,
what Felger like, wants.
Yeah.
I don't know if
there
the show wants
it. There were times when I thought I could see you almost wanting to say something, and then a wry smile came over, and I was sort of...
Yep,
you should have said it.
That's how you get asked back.
I
to be, I've been asked plenty. I'll be on Wednesday if you want to watch again.
Oh.
Were you on late Wednesday?
I think
so. Oh, PFW Power Hour.
Was almost late for this one because I assume there was a Celtics game. And
it wasn't on.
It
went to overtime in the Celtics game.
I think. And I just assumed the show would be late, and then I realized, oh, wait, that game's a national game. I better get there.
Yeah.
Then I ended up in this debacle of a TV show. Literally, they had 6 points. That's what I missed out on. Is like one of the questions they wanted to ask is the Belichick-Brady duo, are their best years behind them? And yeah, I think that's an interesting question because the answer is yes, if you take it factually. They're not going to win 3 Super Bowls in 4 years in all likelihood moving forward. That's just fact.
The other point I think is being stressed, and I think the media is going a little bit crazy with this, is that you know they've lost their last three playoff games.
Yep.
There's only 3 other teams that have been in the playoffs the last 3 years or 4. I mean, it's the Eagles, the Colts, and the Ravens.
The Colts have been the last 3 years.
Yeah,
right.
So that there's not that many teams that can say they've lost the last 3 playoff games. And one of them was the Super Bowl loss. So if you're saying that every 3 years you're going to make the playoffs and one of them's going to be in the Super Bowl, it's not actually that bad.
No, I understand
losing the last 3 playoff games, but I don't think you really need to concentrate on it that much.
But it's more the way they've lost.
The similarity of the lack of intensity
and the ass whooping they took at the hands of
heavy
three defenses.
Heavy favorites in all three,
two of them
at home.
Yeah, well, the Super Bowl wasn't at home, but they were heavy favorites. And I think the A7 team obviously had a lot of pressure and things like that. But I do think, I think this loss is going to put them in. They're a young team. And you sort of look at the team that lost the Super Bowl against the Packers, and you sort of think there are a lot of players who lost there who then went on to be the core of the team.
Yeah.
For the Super Bowl wins and things like that. And you sort of think, well, look, it's their first shot, a lot of young players. The dynasty, I don't think, is dead. And hopefully, you know, next time there's a playoff game, they'll be, you know, a little better suited. I'm not worried about Belichick and Brady. I'm not worried that they lost the last 2 games at home, to be honest.
Neither am I.
Okay. I'm a little worried about the last 2 games at home, but I'm not worried about Belichick and Brady and the overall state of the organization.
Right. I think the state of the union is solid.
There's got to be something to the fact that they've lost in these situations.
No, I know. But, Paul, let's presume they'd won the Baltimore game last year and lost the next game. I don't think that would have really changed the situation that much.
No, but don't you think that there's like an air of invincibility that has sort of been stripped away?
Oh, yeah. Long gone. Hard
oh,
to find.
Yeah, they have to get that back.
That's what I'm concerned about.
The swagger lies with the opponent.
Oh, that's what I'm concerned about. People no longer. The Patriots used to be able to beat teams before the game started. Now, to me, it's like Jacksonville's the only one that falls into that category out of the playoff teams. The Colts aren't going to come here intimidated. Certainly, the Ravens, those teams, Chargers, they're not going to come in here
intimidated. I can live with that. I can live with that.
Okay. I used to like it when teams used to feel like they were beaten before the game.
How long are you going to be able to keep that up? I mean, you know.
I think the air of invincibility is somewhat fake anyway. I mean, even the best teams go 14-2, which means, you know, 1 out of 7 times the better team isn't going to win. And there's so many variables involved in football that you're never going to be able to control. And I think, to contra what happened in the last 2 games, I think the Patriots have probably had a lot of, you know, luck the other way in the 3 Super Bowls and everything that happened there. So I think it's generally sort of evening itself out. I think we were pretty lucky. I think a lot of things went right our way to win the Super Bowls, to go undefeated and things like that. And I think, you know, the air of invincibility was on borrowed time. It's with different personnel. And we're going through transition. Of course, you know, it's a young team. I think we could probably build, if the defense gets better and things like that, and we draft well, we could get that invincibility back. But I don't think we've got the personnel to back up an era of invincibility.
And I think, James, what you bring up is a point that I was thinking about the other day. And we forget about it here because of the success. But it is hard to win football games in the NFL.
Yeah.
And even harder to every year try to get, you know, that's why things that the Patriots have done and the Colts have done and the Eagles have done year after year. It's an amazing thing to be able to do that year after year.
You guys need to do a show, which is, you know, what it's like to support the Patriots between 86 and 96.
Yeah, trust me, it wasn't fun.
Exactly, and it's you know, at the end of the day, if we had to do a fantasy draft tomorrow and you had to choose an owner, a coach, and a quarterback, you know, the owner and the coach would probably be number one pick and the quarterback would be number one or two.
Hard time arguing with any of that.
If that's a recipe for invincibility, so be it. One thing I will say, the crowd doesn't help invincibility.
Well, I mean, I know Gronkowski was raving that it was louder. He thought it was a postseason.
They brought it.
I thought they were better, even at the anthem. I don't remember them finishing the anthem like that in unison. I mean, it seemed like you had about 50,000 people.
I thought they were
the
really good early, and then they got really nervous fast.
Oh, yeah. Just like the rest of their players.
Yeah.
Halftime, it got very quiet.
Those were as loud.
So they were fans that looked like deer in headlights instead of a quarterback. Same.
The first six or seven first down things from John Rook were as loud as I can remember.
Very much, yeah.
But they got nervous fast.
Good reason.
Yeah, but that should be you know, the norm. Not,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
If you can't get up for a playoff game against the Jets when you trounced them the last time.
I'm adding that to my thing, though. I'll add that to the business-like approach. We don't do anything off the field that is, you know, super crazy, hyped up, fake, whatever.
Yeah,
now, that's part of it. If the coach and the organizational philosophy led to more of that, maybe you'd have a more rabid crowd with more rabid fan base who I think they take on the approach of their coach to some degree, where it's business as usual. Let's just win. Business.
Out of interest, you may be able to say this. Was Rodney Harrison the Rodney Harrison the day he was drafted, or did it take time for him to develop?
Oh, no, it took him time to develop. He was a low-round pick.
It's a special teamer early
on. In terms of his attitude.
Oh, I'm sure he was always the same.
Oh, when he was in San Diego, he was known as a dirty player. But, you know, a good player, no doubt. He's a pro bowler.
Yeah.
But for the most part, that's what I was getting to my point with some of these guys. You're born with that. You either have it or you don't. You don't fake it all that well. You can't buy it with $40 million or whatever. You can't anoint a guy a captain and he becomes that. You are what you are. So I'm sure Harrison may not have expressed it in year one, but it was there. It was just waiting to bubble up.
And I think that might be for some of the younger players as well. I don't think anyone turns up to the Patriots and behaves, you know, and has a chip on their shoulder and behaves the way it is. So hopefully, again, with the youngsters coming through, I know, you know, Chung has a bit of an attitude. You know, Merriweather has it completely in the wrong direction. But, you know, you'll take what you can get. But I think, you know, as with everyone else, I'm not jumping off the bridge. Very, very positive. And we all said this. If they lose, is the season going to be a success or a failure? And I think we all said way back that the season on a whole has been a success.
Agreed.
Including the loss.
Yep. Agreed.
Just Sunday was a miserable failure.
All right, James. Thanks a lot.
See you, James.
The call. Carl writes in.
That was a good call. Good call.
Great regular
season,
horrible postseason, says Carl. Three in a row? Why? When you build a team of one star and surround them with rejects and trade down draftees and depend on a great coach and a great quarterback, if either of those two fail in the slightest, you lose. How many draft choices and free agent picks have been wasted before DM trying to replace AS? I don't know what that means. Playoffs, Brady sacked 9 times.
Devin McCourty, Asante Samuel.
Okay. Playoffs, Brady sacked 9 times, opposing quarterback 0.
It's plausible.
No, we trade down and failed to get the best pass rusher in the NFL, Clay Matthews. No deep threat. No chance to catch up when behind. No offensive coordinator. Brady's getting older, and the 3 trophies are in the distant past, and still we fail to surround him. We surround him with mediocrity that does... Damn this computer.
Oh, he literally just hit the computer.
That doesn't hold up in the playoffs.
Through the wall
he
the
knows
day.
He can't win it alone, and maybe he's over-trying as his chance for another Lombardi fades. Carl is frustrated.
Yeah, I understand the frustration, but like Andy made this point. Would you have said the same thing before the game?
No.
Surrounded with mediocrity?
Right.
I would have.
But, I mean, before
Fred
the game,
yelled at me last week for saying that.
We had, you know, Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez are budding Pro Bowl tight ends, and you got a Pro Bowl rookie corner, and you got this, and you got that. Yeah. It doesn't change overnight just because you lost.
Yeah, I think they had, in the ones that you specifically mentioned, I totally agree with. But largely, they're still developing. And they played well together. I think they exceeded expectations to me, and they kind of got there earlier than I think any of us thought.
The Patriots need to look at themselves as sort of like the Broncos did in Elway's last few years.
It just harkens back to the Broncos.
It really is.
It's nauseating.
I mean, we see where your heart is. You don't have to tell us every minute.
But they surrounded Elway with a good defense and other elements than his arm to win games, and they won 2 Super Bowls
in a
row.
He didn't have a running game for years.
And I could easily see if there was a version of us, you know, for Denver back in the mid to late 80s, oh, I'm sorry, you don't want to go to the Super Bowl every year and lose? I mean, yeah, you know, the Fred Kirsch, who was probably, by the way, Fred Kirsch.
Slimmer, younger.
Oh, I know, because all the other teams in the AFC are doing much better than the Broncos. I mean, that's probably the mentality they had, but then they realized, hey, if we can surround and tweak a few things, we are good, and he's great. And if we can get some greatness around him like Terrell Davis and maybe a defense that has a pulse, maybe we can win it all, and they did twice.
Sam in Chicago, wow, what a disappointment from the expectations overall, though. I'm not feeling it now, but what a great regular season. I'm going to point the finger from Sunday's loss at the bye week the Patriots had leading into the game. I just think it was for the Pats to think too much about the game ahead and not playing the week before got them out of rhythm, something the Jets clearly had.
It didn't hurt them in 0-1, 0-3, or 0-4.
The Pats just seemed to fold after the initial scoring positions in the first half slipped by. Looking forward to the draft that's Sam in Chicago.
They needed that bye to get players healthy, though, too.
Yeah, last year they didn't have a week to rest, and that hurt them.
Exactly.
With the Wes Welker injury. And
06, it was because they had to go on the road and play. There's always a reason to lose when you lose.
Robin Brighton says, I don't understand the Welker benching. What if Tom Brady had made subtle comments? Did he bench him after he said, I hate the Jets? I can't remember, but was Randy Moss ever benched after making comments last year in 07? Just seems odd that Belichick would bench Welker and break his cardinal rule of do what is best for the team. Again, Brady saying he hates the Jets is not a personal attack. And I think if my theory's right, this was all about message of empathy.
That's a good point, though, that the emailer brings up. What if it were Brady who made the foot comments on EEI or Wednesday?
You could put that in with would the fake punt have worked if Chung had caught it and, you know, all the other things that we just don't know.
No chance.
There's no answers.
No chance.
Side note,
you don't know.
No Pete Shepherd show today. If anyone can help a Pats fan mourn, it's Pete. Is he okay?
Pete okay? Anybody take his shoelaces away?
He's actually going to do a show on Thursday instead of today. He's having a little problem with the snow. So
see you next Thursday.
The hills of North Providence got him too?
Yeah.
No more playbook?
Hey, Freddie Smurlus.
Oh, there is?
If ever you needed a nitpick Tuesday, I mean... From minute one to minutes, actually, before minute one.
This be what Nitpick Thursday was made for.
Rooks in heaven.
The last playbook is today, following PFW.
Gotcha.
He felt he needed to have some closure.
We're not going to do a show tomorrow.
No. Okay. We are back to our Tuesday and Thursday schedule for the rest of the season.
I say we just go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
No, I
no, I can't do it. Fred's too busy. I'm far too busy.
Let's see.
Fred had his gun shirt on yesterday, just so you know.
He had the gun show?
Remember that, you know, that white shirt with the blue stripes?
Yep.
That's way too tight
yep.
for him.
No,
it looks
well.
Like his little brother gave it to him. I walked into his office and he had his arms on his desk.
It's extra large. I mean, I don't, you know.
And you're extra, extra large at this point.
You started going like this?
Well, I have been working out. Thank you.
Wow. Two tickets to the gun show.
Perfect. Pull up.
Push Sun's
up.
Out, guns
that's
out.
Like, that's like the, you know, the Planet
Except
Fitness.
It's snowing.
Planet Fitness, not for you.
You know the Planet Fitness?
Yeah.
If you've ever bought tickets to the gun show.
Yeah, that's a clown gym.
Jack writes, and I heard Wes Welker's foot tirade.
You know who else complains about things like that?
Who?
Parenti.
But
right
I'm, not a meat, I'm not a meathead.
Yes, you are.
You need dumbbells that go above what a hotel would have. I mean, that's
I
an embarrassment.
I pick up and put them down.
Anyone who works out at all, and if you're a man, Fred,
if you're a man,
you need dumbbells above 45 pounds.
I walk around with a gallon of juice.
I mean, my wife, who used, like, we would go to the gym, like, girls use dumbbells that are like 25. I mean, that's an embarrassment.
What
they're a gimmick.
Planet Fitness.
They
have
dumbbells that I believe they stop at 50, maybe. It's a joke. And they have all these rules and
need?
Like.
What are you doing?
You can't grunt when you're
well,
working.
Well, no, grunting
out?
Is stupid. I'm not grunting. I agree with them.
Don't lie,
rules.
You grunt.
But normal human beings who just work out a little can use a dumbbell that's above 50 pounds. Even Eric, I bet, could do something with a dumbbell about 50 pounds.
Well, I got my wife going because I came back from the gym on Saturday.
Heck of a shot.
And so she goes, you know, because. She said, how was the workout? I go, it was good, but one of the staff had to talk to me. And so now I usually do get in trouble, so she wasn't surprised at that.
Lifting weights?
And I said, yeah, they asked me to just cool it down. I was intimidating some of the other members.
Oh, for God's sake.
Shut up.
He's drinking his protein shake, you know.
Man. Yeah, the other day, what did he eat the other day before the protein shake? A brownie, I believe. He washed down a Cheryl and Company frosted brownie that probably has 40 grams of fat. And he had
his drink.
It looks like chocolate
his shake
milk
in one hand
thing.
And a brownie in the other.
You know, meal replacements don't work when you eat the meal and the meal replacement.
He's got his creatine in there. Mixed in.
Have you gained weight?
I don't know. I haven't weighed myself.
Are you trying to put on weight, Freddie?
You just go by the mirror and how your clothes
fit. I'm redistributing.
Well, I thought you were trying to put muscle on.
No, I'm not necessarily.
I'm redistributing.
I'm not. No, I'm just.
He's getting swole at the gym.
I do a lot of cardio.
Oh, he's all swole
up. No, you don't.
Swole up.
I do. I do 30 minutes.
Freddie, you're going to start going
on the elliptical.
You're gonna do you and the other mothers?
Are you going to tan? Are you going to tan as well, Freddie?
No, I'm not going to tan.
GTL?
I don't tan. Oh, God.
Get him a gift certificate to the tan man.
GTL, I like.
Can I get new headphones at some point, please?
Why are you looking at me? You think I'm going to go out to Radio Shack?
What does he do?
I know. Headphones?
What is ever his responsibility?
I'm just the producer.
No, but seriously, do you expect me to go out and buy you new headphones?
No, order them.
Sort of budget. I have a knot that I have to tie and yank on to get my headphones to work.
Okay, but do you think I have the authority to order them?
He has to.
You have the authority to do some other stuff that you shouldn't have done a few weeks ago.
Such as?
You don't want me to tell you.
Anyway, Jack writes
the big screen.
I heard
plays.
Jack says, I heard Wes Welker's foot tirade and laughed, and I agree he shouldn't have said it, but he did. Now, the damn Jets have been insulting us for two freaking years. 2 years! At what point does someone from this team step up and say, shut the hell up? Well, they had a chance. They could have done it on the field. That's the point. Also, I heard all these Jets players say that Wes Welker was out of line talking about Ryan's wife. What? Did he ever mention her? Never. I promise you that Ryan got his band of mindless, classless thugs together and said, he insulted my wife. I'm still sick over the loss, not because we got knocked out, but because of who we lost to.
You put your wife on the internet.
I know.
Yeah. It's not like he was snooping in your window and was like, ooh, he has a foot fetish. I'm going to tell people. Right. It was on the internet.
Yeah, it was the wife. But listen, what do you I mean, you put it out there. You have to take the. You have to take that.
Right.
And
he said, I can take it, but I'm not going
to
talk about it.
Yeah.
What is he doing? I don't know. Going to screw something up.
He's going to give him another pair of headphones.
Gave me a thumbs up, maybe not. Can we get good headphones? We got ghetto ones last time we bought new ones. That was the problem.
Harry,
Bose.
Harry writes in, well, the Bose aren't meant for industrial use. They break too
easily.
Okay,
so Beats.
You know? We need
those other ones we had lasted for a couple of years.
The Bose?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were all tearing apart by the end.
We had them for like 5 years.
We need those Sony, the ones that radio stations use that Mark Capella has, that he brings on the bus.
I don't like those.
I know, but they're built to, you know, be pulled off and on and off and on.
Yeah, Bose.
You know?
Yeah, Bose.
Yeah, Bose.
Yeah.
That's good.
Bose. Those Bose, that's just boxes, I think.
Those
right?
were the ones, the old ones came in before we got these.
You got to talk in the mic, Kevin. That's how radio works.
Not really. The morning show on Kiss 107 has a guy, the producer, talks in the background. You can never hear him. They just respond to him. They laugh. Oh, good one, Jim. We can't hear it. And
it's
the highest rated show in America.
You can hear it
barely, but not clear enough to know what's going on.
Highest rated show in America?
Maybe not. They always, for 30 years, they've been like the highest rated show.
What's this, Kiss 108?
Yeah.
Maddie
in the morning.
Matt Siegel.
He's never listened to my life.
He's very good.
I know he is.
You're missing out. You're missing out.
I just, you know.
They pulled an us
this very
morning,
talented guy.
A little bit.
Don't they always?
Yeah, they
always
are.
There are a lot of similarities between our show and theirs. And the ratings as well. apparently there was at your Blazers guys, the lacrosse.
Well, yeah, did you see they
the
had lap dance at halftime?
Well,
oh my God.
Apparently the one who's in trouble is from Jammin' down the hall, their sister station. What, so they're reading
can I interrupt you for a second?
Ramiro, what happened?
What time did you get here today?
I don't know.
Just I heard all of the same stuff that you heard.
But I thought
I feel like I got here like 4 hours after everybody.
I thought of Fred and immediately because they're reading the story, knowing it's like implicating. It'd be like us talking about certain things. Kevin,
well, evidently,
does,
Bill Costa.
Guy's name's
knew.
Hustle Simmons, by the way.
Oh, okay. Whoever it was, it was a Jammin' employee. They work for the same company.
He was DJing,
and they're basically
MCing
ripping
the
him
thing.
On the air.
They
good call, by the way. Family environment. Let's have a lap dance.
The video of that thing is priceless.
Do any hot women come down?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and they're like scantily clad.
Why don't you cue that up? So,
but anyway,
at the end of the show.
So,
we'll,
but no,
we'll
the part I was getting at is you can see the like there's like small children in the front row. Like,
oh
sitting
yeah,
with their
I mean at a game like that, an indoor lacrosse game, it's probably a chance to get your whole family in the seats for $50.
Well, right. It's hardcore fans. Isn't the best lacrosse player in the world playing there?
Oh,
I don't think so.
Oh, they put the hardcore into it then, huh?
Paul Rabel plays outdoor lacrosse.
Oh, okay. Who plays for this team then?
This is you're thinking of the Boston Cannons.
Is this the Revs of lacrosse?
No, this is the Boston Blazers. This is an
indoor lacrosse
7-on-7 league or
but
whatever.
But that's unbelievable that they would have
a lot of good players, but it's like
it's
they
a
have
fast
long rumble. It's
do they have
vicious.
Long poles?
It's vicious.
Yeah,
I don't
they
even
have long, they have long poles.
Do they? Do they allow long poles?
I bet
poles?
They're all short poles.
I was going to say, how the hell do you know?
Well, they do
the mascot had a long pole when those mothers got done
and
with him.
And he drives a Porsche, right? Anyway, Harry writes in, back to football. Hey, guys, heard you talking about the Patriots needing a good number one receiver this offseason, and I fully agree. I've been hearing rumors about Larry Fitzgerald and now Chad Ochocinco, and allow me to throw in Plaxico Burress as a possibility, and with the Carolina Panthers under new management, maybe even Steven Smith. Do you have any preferences as to whom the Patriots should make the move for in that spot? Also, should the Pats make an attempt at getting Achimois now that he's apparently a free agent? Thanks, Harry from Las Vegas.
Fitzgerald is the top one because he may be the most overall talented, but he also has the least baggage.
Yeah.
But he's also going to cost the most.
I would completely eliminate Plaxico Burress.
Yeah, I wouldn't want Plaxico Burress.
Oh, I didn't hear.
Now, Steve Smith, I've always liked Steve Smith, but lately he's kind of... Character-wise, I question him.
He's always been.
He's a bad dude.
He's always been.
I know he punched the guy in the face.
A couple times.
He's a teammate.
Oh. He's a stick of dynamite. He's a volatile character.
Yeah. You wonder how much of that is out of frustration.
Brady, but the local flag football leagues would really get a good player.
Brady does to Steve Smith what he did to Woodhead the other day. They might go at it right on the sideline.
He'll pop him.
Yeah.
Well, and Ochocinco, I'm really bad at this tweet thing. Maybe strippers can help me out. Pretty sure Ochocinco yesterday actually wrote, me playing with BB would be great or something.
Yeah. Didn't he call him Pepe? He'd call himself Pepe or something?
Yeah, Pepe with
Is
BB.
Pepe?
Yeah. P-E-P-E with BB or something.
No, he said Pepe and Bill.
Or Bill.
No, yeah, that was the direct.
But he has directly said, basically, he wants to play here. So let's get it done. I'm all for it.
Hey,
excitement.
Going
PFW.
Back to the Woo! Game, just a thought that I've had a lot of time to think about this and a lot of thoughts have run through my mind.
You've moved on, though.
Do you think it would have made any difference if Fred Taylor was available for that game?
What do you mean by
because
available?
If the Jets were daring them to run.
If Fred Taylor was active in the game.
And playing.
No. Yeah. If Fred Taylor had been Fred Taylor all year, maybe. Maybe. He might have been able to take one of those 8-yard Green Ellis runs.
35.
And made it a 25 or 30-yard run.
I was thinking that.
But I don't think you could realistically have expected that based on what he's done this year.
Right, right.
I think that would be asking a lot. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
I don't think it would have made much of a difference because the game plan was still, for the Jets, was still what it was going
to
be.
No, I know, but given that game plan, to have a guy who can really break one.
Yeah, no, Fred's point is the Jets dared them to run.
Right.
And they ran the ball 25-plus times. They ran the ball a lot.
23 with just the two of them. 9 and 14, right, for Greeno?
28 times they
28
ran.
28 runs. So they did try to run the ball.
26 if you take away Brady's
you,
two.
You may have had an opportunity with Fred Taylor if he got 10 carries to pop one or two against small fronts. But I don't think that would have been
it would have affected
realistic.
The outcome,
I don't think that would have been realistic to expect given the fact that he missed all those games and barely played and then was a – nothing. He was nothing down the stretch.
Mike in Pensacola, hello. Obi-Wan, who's Fred. Jabba the Hutt, Paul. Han Solo, Andy. And C-3PO is Eric.
We've gotten that before.
Yeah, the gold guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. I had a question.
Can I be
speaks
like
a bunch of languages.
Something? What do I have to be Jabba the
Snooty.
Hutt for?
I think it's obvious.
British
why
accent.
Can't Fred be Jabba?
Jabba the Hutt's fat, right?
Yeah. Oh, he's sloth.
That's Rex Ryan.
He's like
slovenly.
Is that slovenly?
Slovenly?
Just said it's Paul.
It's Rex Ryan. Not you.
What do you want to be, Harrison Ford? Who's he?
No.
You're Harrison Ford.
Oh, I'm Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
Han Solo. Oh, that's what he said.
Aren't I encased in, like, concrete?
I think you're more Chewbacca.
Carbon.
I mean, Chewbacca, you
always
don't know
yelling.
What he's saying, but he was always saying wisecracks. You know, you don't know exactly, but he was wisecracking all the time.
He was wisecracking.
Yeah. Like the cab driver who's making fun of you when he's going,
So you're Chewbacca.
Yeah. Nothing offensive about that.
I had a question concerning the running back position going forward with Fred Taylor mulling retirement and with the emergence of Green Ellis and Woodhead this season. Do you see the Pats drafting another running back in the early rounds and cutting ties with veteran backs like Morris and Taylor? Do you believe that Kevin Faulk will be retained? I think that the Pats have other needs, outside linebacker, wide receiver, offensive line, that are more important than running back, and I feel that the law firm and Woodhead combo is more than serviceable, like Antoine Smith and Kevin Faulk in the earlier part of the decade. Thanks for the insight. Keep up the great work, men, and Eric. So
I do think they'll draft a back, and I do think Kevin Faulk will be back.
I'm not 100% convinced of Faulk coming back.
I think the only way he's not back is if he pulls a Brewski and comes back in camp and realizes, okay, I'm not really back, and it's going to take too long, and then we'll have another one of those press conferences where he'll be the pretty close to perfect Patriot or whatever Bill will come up with.
I agree, but do you think there's a chance that Bill makes it clear before that you can try to come back, but I'm not sure I have a spot for you.
No.
Freddie,
you know,
before you,
a chance?
Before you get too deep, we have a phone caller. Just make sure you want to get him in.
Okay.
All right, let's go to it right now then. Ace Ticket Hotline, Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right, how you doing?
It's been like I just got rolled up wet and hung high. Oh, boy.
You driving the truck today?
No, sir, I'm off today.
Oh, okay.
I was off for the game Sunday. Yeah, you took my phone calls. Oh, boy, did I get phone calls. But my question is this. Remember a while back I told you we're going to need a breakaway threat, at least one of them games?
Yep.
Sunday was the game.
Yeah.
Sunday was the game.
I agree.
You have said that consistently all year. I will give you credit for that.
And you were right. They didn't have a breakaway threat in the backfield, and they didn't have a breakaway threat in the passing game, and they never broke away.
Nope. And I was just wondering, you know, they've got two number ones, two number twos, and two number threes. I heard y'all say something about Larry Fitzgerald might be a free agent next year, but I don't think Arizona will get rid of him.
Well,
they do a trade.
No, you'd have to trade for him.
Yeah, you'd have to trade for him.
They have nobody to get him the ball. He had a down year because he was the only guy on that team, basically. And there's just, you know, kind of the thought process that he might want out, not go through a whole rebuilding process, so that he might become available via trade, which I would think any team in the NFL would be interested in. But there's also, for your purposes, in this draft is stocked with 6'3", 6'4", 210-pound downfield targets. There's a lot of those type of receivers in this draft. So if you want one, there's some guys to consider going after in the first or second round there.
Yeah, I see that too, but to me, I'm like, in a way, like Belichick in a way. Like proven veterans, especially when the game's on the line. Saturday, Sunday proved.
Just so you know, Belichick doesn't laugh after he says anything, so that you're very different from Belichick there.
But what I'm saying is, you know,
the personal veteran.
Like, if I have a chance to get Larry Fitzgerald or one of the 6'3s, I'm going for Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, me too,
yeah.
But not if it takes. I mean, if it's the difference between if Arizona wants the 17th pick, the 28th pick, the 33rd pick, or I can just use one of those picks. You have to consider it.
Yeah.
Or consider it?
I would. But I got one question. Yeah, or two questions. I think BB got too much on his plate, being offense and defense controlling everything, because running for 7 minutes and 56 seconds and 14 plays and no points and the time is clicking, that don't seem Patriot-like.
Well, but I don't think it has anything to do with too much on Belichick's plate. I don't.
No, the pace of that drive was puzzling. We talked about it earlier in the show. Yeah. I didn't get it. I have no problem with running the ball.
The players stuck up for their coaches.
I have a problem with how long it took them to get those
about
plays
that,
off.
But Paul's right. There was definitely.
No, I thought they should have picked up the tempo. Yeah. No doubt about it. I really do.
They should have ran it that many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, not just the running,
but here's the thing,
waiting to the very end of the clock to snap
it. That's the outcome of the play. I mean, there was a lot of plays there that they had eight defensive backs on the field. And they're still running the ball for 4 yards. I mean, you would think that you're going to get more than that. But I can't understand how long it took them to get a lot of those. It was, you know, a lot of people in the press box were mumbling Donovan McNabb during that drive from the Super Bowl, and that's exactly what it reminded me of. Like it was they were acting like they were only down one score.
Right.
Yep. And I got one more question is, who's coaching the secondary? I mean, I'm not a pro coach.
Josh,
I have coached the league.
Josh Boyer and Corwin Brown. Boyer does the cornerbacks, and Brown's handles the safeties.
My question is, do you think the techniques them guys are using? Sometime, one plus a time, you got to look back at the quarterback. You got to look back, you know. And it went off.
But we say that about a lot of guys in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems to be endemic. Then you get a guy like McCourty,
yeah,
who just has that,
back a lot.
Who has that instinct to know when to do it. It sounds easy, but so many guys in this league don't do it.
Right. I think there's more instinct than coaching involved there.
Yeah.
They all know what they're supposed to do, but when it's hitting the fan on the field and you have a guy running by you who's a great athlete, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
Instincts definitely come into play there at corner.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Good stuff, Eldridge.
Keep on trucking, Eldridge.
He was right, though. He was definitely
the one.
You got to
play the trucker horn.
Talked about that breakaway threat. Talked about that a lot all year.
What did he say? He was wrapped up and wet and hung high?
Yeah.
Rolled up wet and hung high?
Made me laugh, but I don't know. I mean, for all I know, it was a very racist comment or a very, like, 1800s. I mean, I have no idea what it was.
sounded
tarred
funny.
And feathered. Funny, though. Yeah, you're right.
Well, he could.
It wasn't
the
good.
The subtitle comes up on airplane, and it just says bummer.
Well, this sounds kind. Usually say it's about a hot woman, but pretty much he could read the phone book, and I'd be laughing. I love the way he speaks. It's very funny.
Mike says, another fantastic year of Patriots football disintegrated in the first round of the playoffs. I feel like San Diego in 06 after they went 14-2, lost in the first round, and I hate the Chargers, so to see us experience the same defeat is really heart-wrenching. I cannot believe that we could not beat the loudmouth a-holes from Jersey. Now that Bill and the Patriots organization have done such a masterful job of rebuilding this team to compete in the regular season, I'm hoping that they spend all offseason focusing on how to make this a playoff-winning team next year. The team can no longer waltz into the playoffs expecting to just win. We have, what, just four or five players on the roster that actually have won a playoff game. Something is seriously wrong with how our team is preparing for its playoff games. This must be fixed, or else we will turn into the Colts. I am not emotionally prepared to lose another playoff game. I really hope to get an explosive receiver into the mix next year. Ocho Cinco or Larry Fitzgerald come to mind. Heck, I'd even take Randy Moss back for one more year. Then there's Taylor Price waiting in the wings. What are your thoughts on the receiver position? Who stays, who goes from the 2010 core?
Just a quick, there's a lot more than four players that have won playoff games. I just came up with nine instantly.
I think, you know, his point is that they
playing the role of Paul
but that's
Perreault.
What happens, you know.
Is it 10% of the roster or, you know, 30%
when
of the roster?
When 25 of your players are new, you're not going to have a lot of guys who have playoff experience.
Right.
That's just the way it is. You
Unless
know?
You bring in guys with playoff experience.
All right, so let's get to it. Receiving core, who stays, who goes?
Welker stays, Edelman stays, Tate stays.
Stay.
I think Branch stays.
He'll be there for training camp.
You don't think he'll make the team?
I don't know.
Something happened. Either you have heard something or something called
a
name.
I think Branch is – I think he was a great addition
this year.
This is
as negative on one guy
Seriously.
As he's ever been in a whole show.
No, listen. I think Branch was a great addition this year, but I do think there's an opportunity to upgrade the wide receiver position. You can't keep them all.
So let's start with the top. Let's not try to get a guy better than Brandon Tate.
Who hasn't been good at anything since September.
Well, the reason why we're all saying Brandon Tate stays is because of special teams. Let's face it. If
he hasn't been
good
at that since September.
He hasn't been that good since
And they've
the
led the league
year.
In kickoffs almost every time they've had a kickoff returner, so I think they'll find a guy. Just like they replaced Maroney with Hobbs, with Bethel Johnson, with Brandon Tate.
Well, maybe Tate will go. I don't know. But
I think they'll all be back.
I think the only guy that, you know, of the wide receiver position that is a lock is Welker.
Well, see, now that's funny. I don't think he's a lock.
Really?
Not sure he is.
It's 1 year left in his contract, correct?
Yeah.
Wants a new one, correct?
Yep.
I think you have a budding problem there.
You might trade him though.
Who, by the way, you benched?
Yeah.
Because he said the word foot.
You think he's taking less to stay?
No, I wouldn't.
No way. Nope.
I think you have a budding problem there.
John Rooks here,
and I'm sure that'll be addressed on Nitpick Tuesday.
Now, John, tell the truth. When you came up with Nitpick Tuesday. This is the day you had in mind, isn't it?
This is the ultimate Nitpick Tuesday. Yeah, the ultimate. You know, no, nobody ever has this in mind, to be honest with you. I think everybody's just as shocked as, you know, anybody. It's just a stunning, shocking turn of events. Nobody saw it coming. I think everybody realized that, yeah, sure, it was possible, but it happens. That's why they play the games, right?
Yeah.
That's why they play them.
It's very interesting.
John, at some point, you know, we're in the press box, and from everything that we've heard, that the fans really came out roaring. They were really hyped up. At some point, did you think that they started to get nervous and things started to quiet down?
I can
down?
Only imagine, Fred, that, you know, during that first drive, I started to get nervous. And then when the Patriots had an opportunity to score – oh, gosh. It was after they kicked
14-11.
I got nervous. I began to think something's not right after they were forced to kick a field goal and make it 3-0.
Yeah.
And even when Brady threw the pick and they were able to get the shank field goal, attempt after that, I still felt nervous.
Yeah.
And so there was something not right. I can't put my finger on it. It just didn't seem like the same Patriot team. There was not the same. I don't know. Energy? Is that right?
Passion.
Yeah,
goal,
I just didn't sense
the
that.
The field goal was that was big.
Yeah,
when the Patriots kicked the field goal.
When the Patriots kicked the field goal and they couldn't convert that into seven.
You know, Crumple drops the ball. Crumple, how many times do you see him say, oh, we dropped one.
Yeah.
But that's okay. They'll come back on the next play. And the next play, they got sacked.
Yes, exactly the point.
It was one of those, I also thought on that drive
that I think we've began to see Brady hold the ball longer in the pocket than we, you know, and obviously that was a continuing trend throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so that told me, well, the Jets are doing something different, and then you try to look at it away from the ball, and you're thinking, well, they looks like they're throwing a little zone in there, and so Brady's holding the ball a little bit more and allowed Sean Ellis to have a big day. You know, I was surprised. In fact, I'll go just come around and say it. I was stunned
that the
Patriots were not able to adapt to that. They didn't respond like I think that they should have. You would thought that they're like, okay, you know, man-to-man, this is what we're doing. Okay, they're in zone coverage. This is what we're doing.
Welker didn't see
any of that.
Welker said that after the game, and I thought that was very revealing. That they expected one thing. They got zone, and they tried to adjust, but
they didn't do it.
Yeah, they couldn't do
it.
And
that gets back to the emailer asking, is Bill spread too thin? Because I'm not sure how many times Bill O'Brien has been challenged to make in-game adjustments this year. Mm. When they were flying,
That shouldn't even have been an in-game adjustment,
they were calling,
Andy. But that should not have been an in-game adjustment.
No, but if
that's the problem that I had. But
if it had to be, who was making the call? Who was the one responsible for doing it?
Belichick is spending more time with the defense. Bill O'Brien is his offense, even though he doesn't have the title.
Well, then you got to put some of this, if not all of it, on Bill O'Brien's feet.
Don't, because Paul and he are very tight.
I'm a huge Brown fan, too.
We got to finish.
520 points. They're the best.
We have to go finish shooting our show, but you said it should not have been an in-game adjustment. What do you mean by that?
I only simply think that they should have had plan A and plan B. Didn't seem to me like they had a plan B.
Okay. I think you're right.
That's it. John. I just don't think they prepared as adequately for what the Jets could provide as they could have. That's my impression.
Yeah, see, one thing, I went into the game thinking there will be times where the Jets will cover us like a blanket. And I just figured that would happen. And I said that Brady's going to have to run the ball a little bit.
Well, you know, but we all know he can't do that. But if you had a mobile quarterback, he could have done that.
Yeah.
You know? So, we'll continue to nitpick on that.
All right, well, stay tuned for the playbook. John Rook, it's his swan song this year. He needs closure, he says. He needs closure. For us, we'll see you on Thursday. Thanks for listening.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.